Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Wednesday, August 26th, 2020. Thank you for joining me today. Have a focus show on two main topics today, with a few other things, foreign policy to end, but primarily things that we've been circling around in regard to isolation of the virus, as well as a follow-up in regard to masks. This is, I mean, it's incredible that these things shouldn't be necessary right now. It's been very clear, abundantly clear, verifiably so, that this has not officially been isolated, at least as we've been told, needs to be done every single time up until we got to COVID-19. Then everything changed and it was okay. They did it all different to get the result they wanted. Of course, that's all ridiculous. The reality is it wasn't isolated, and that's a simple fact, as well as the reality of the mass discussion. No, the simple reality that there's not enough evidence to suggest that there's any effect on transmission, which is what the CDC has been saying, as well as they followed up and said on the July 31st. I mean, this is following the May research that they did. Now, we're going to go over those two things to begin right off the bat for the most part, as well as a few other things on this topic that, you know, you probably won't be too happy to see, but things that are very important that we're aware of and hopefully will trigger some people to take some actions. We'll basically create the grassroots, core movement that we need. We don't need left versus right politics guiding us in what's going on. They're the ones that are driving us in this direction. What we need as individuals, Americans, is to realize that that is what is driving us down, and that we need to realize that the COVID-19 technocratic revolution is happening regardless of who gets elected, regardless of the most important election of our lifetime, which is what we hear every 2 years. Seemingly the most important, except we set it up, but this one's for real. It just saw Eva Longoria and a few others, no joke, say the exact thing. I know we've said it was the most important, but this one is the actual most important, which I guess they're not cognizant enough to realize that that means they're going, now I know we lied to you last time and we said it was, but this one actually is the most important. But trust us this time, though. It's ridiculous. But the problem with all this is where most people's minds are at right now. Most people are aggressively lost within the whole two-party paradigm, and that's part of the plan. The whole conventions are starting up, and we're driving into November, and now suddenly half the people that were let me put it this way. I would argue that the vast majority of the fake majority that's driving the perception of the mainstream media, rather what they show us as the perception, you know, the whole thing that we all believe we should wear masks and we all believe we should be on lockdown and we all believe this or that. What's what they keep telling us? I believe that most of the people that buy into that are now suddenly completely invested in the fake 2020 selection. And I think it's very clear by the disjointed, like almost aggressive deviation into this in the middle of this pandemic that they were breathlessly telling us we're all going to die. Now suddenly they're cutting it half and half. I mean, if it was really the end all be all, we're all going to die scenario, wouldn't the election kind of take the back seat? It's just something interesting to think about. Nonetheless, as Michael Krager's pointing out, Democrats, oh my God, the Republicans lie constantly. Republicans, oh my God, the Democrats lie constantly. Me, they all lie for a living, you damn fools. That's the best tweet of the day. And what's even more entertaining to me is that there's so many out there who are still, whether willfully so or not, and it does seem willful in a lot of cases, lost in the two-party paradigm. You know, willful meaning they're choosing a side because they like the benefits or because they feel they're winning. But the reality is that it is a completely lost situation on either side. And Michael Krager hits it right on the head. That we all point to the other side. They're all lying on the other side, even though they're all actually lying. And the point I was getting to is the people within it look at us and they say, oh, look, these people think they're so edgy. They think they're so slick and cool and they see it all. No, we don't think that. We think this is the most ridiculous, juvenile, obvious thing of all time. I've never seen something so obvious. I don't think I'm slick and ahead of the game because I can recognize how stupid the two-party paradigm is. That's what's crazy, is they're even trying to disparage us for doing so. So as everybody's trying to drive you into, this is the most important election, the absurd left and right conventions, both of which are ridiculous and both of which can be seen as much, is if you're willing to stand back, Of course, as well as all the chaos and the riots and all the everything that's going on, this young kid just shot somebody and it's all out of control and it's all being stoked by the two sides that you're staring at right here. Now, that doesn't mean that people don't get shot. It doesn't mean that there's not riots, that there's not all this happening. It means that it's being used against you. And if you can't see that while they're building the same thing that we've been screaming about for 8 months now, then you're just choosing to lose yourself into the same comfortable suffocation of the fake two-party political system that will always do exactly that. I'm pleading with you all, pleading, especially those that just think we're crazy or here for whatever other reason. Please, I don't care how invested you are in the two-party system or the politics or Biden or Trump or anything. Put that toy aside for a minute and realize what's being built right now. Whether it's between now and November or November is just another event in the mix of all of it to keep you distracted, it's important that we see that. And again, what I mean is, even if you believe in this election or believe in Trump or Biden, that's okay. Put it aside for a minute and watch what they're doing right now. It cannot, because right now, so many of the things we've been saying are being vindicated, two of which we're going to talk about today, which again, I argue were already vindicated. But now even they are quietly dripping out these things that should make you double take. Hold on a minute. Did they just say that that's not the case? Wait a minute. They put people in jail for that. Wait a minute. They bailed out this country based on those lies. Okay, I've gone on long enough. Let's jump into the beginning part of this. Now, I get in my flow, and then I forget a couple things that I wanted to point out as well before we jump in. Also, just realize that people are still being censored. Me as well. There's been a couple I haven't even mentioned because I know people are tired of seeing it, hearing it, but you need to support people that are being censored. Vanessa Bealey just had a video censored of another doctor, another well-respected, educated health professional expert who is speaking out and saying, yeah, you're all being lied to. And of course, all of the dutiful oligarchy pandering platforms happily do their job and censor, because their job is to control the narrative. That's what their job is. So seek it out on BitChute, go to her channel, go to her Twitter feed, you'll find the tweet. I think I included a link in the show notes. It's just sad to see it happening, as well as High Impact Flicks just had his vlogs channel deleted. Deleted, not just censored. I mean, this is what I feel is coming to us very soon. The entire YouTube channel, 377,000 subscribers, 8 years of work. Now, that he's had both channels deleted. He luckily got the other one back for whatever reason. That does happen. I've gotten videos just suddenly reinstated for random reasons, which maybe gives you the feeling that maybe there's some real people back there possibly fighting for what we believe, but it's happening. Now, I don't care what you think about Brian or High Impact Flicks or whatever. The bottom line is it should not be allowed. I have great respect for Brian. I think he does a fantastic job, and it's sad to see that happen. So hopefully you will stand up and support these people, whoever they may be, because it shouldn't be YouTube deciding what you're allowed to see. Now, understand, you go, oh, well, they're a private company. Well, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, these things have the cornered market right now. Complete control over all of the, this is the town square. And I know I don't think that they should regulate it as such. I think they should back away, but they have that control, which means the government is in control. As Caitlin Johnstone regularly says, that because the states are controlling these entities, it is state censorship. We are staring at censorship, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or any of it. Super Seamster jumps in 7 minutes late. Don't worry. I've just been rattling off nonsense for 7 minutes. Let's get into the point of the show today. Not nonsense. This is very important, but I'm being funny because I know how many people hate when I don't get right to the point, because it's not my show, right? Let's jump into the reality here of what's going on. This is really important. Sarah, thank you for sharing this. This is something I hope you all do your due diligence on yourself. The link is fda.gov, and I'll show it to you next. As she's saying, finally, the CDC's own words. The COVID-19 virus has never been isolated. It looks as though the primer used with their tests mimics the virus. That's her take on it. The point is, here's where we are, and it's the FDA we're talking about, the FDA.gov website. Okay, in regard to this information, I can go to the very top and you can see it for your, well, actually, now I'm going to lose my spot. Hold on. I don't want to do that. Let me show you this first. Here we are. Whew, I lost it. Okay, so now this is really important, okay, because this is something that we've been telling. And again, it's incredible that this is not common knowledge. It should be. Dr. Kaufman's talked about it, plenty of others, you know, very, very highly respected people. You know, they can attack Dr. Kaufman for whatever reason. They think they can go after him because of what something in his history or whatever. even though he's incredibly intelligent and you should respect this person's opinion. But there are plenty of other people that they just choose to ignore. Why? Well, because those people they can't attack. Because if it were in a different situation, they'd be praising them as the only person you should listen to. But for whatever reason, such as people like the Nobel laureate in regard to HIV, you know, there's a bunch of these different people, highly respected people, who have said this exact thing. This has not been isolated. So as we're seeing it here as a very quick sentence, as a preface to a larger sentence, realize why they don't want you knowing this. Because if they haven't isolated this virus, we can't prove that it even exists. Which doesn't mean that there's not something happening. It could mean that. It could mean any number of things. Or it could mean simply that we're dealing with something that they wanted us to think was something new. Or something that they don't even understand and just wanted to use. I mean, there's any number of things you could guess at. What's important is not to put your perspective on this, right? Confirmation bias and such, and see this as what you want it to be. Simply recognize that what they're saying here. Since no quantified virus isolates of the 2019 novel coronavirus are currently available, meaning pretty clearly what that says, that there are no currently available quantified virus isolates of this, of SARS-CoV-2, or in the 2019 novel coronavirus, as it was called before it was addressed, which again, for that exact purpose, I brought this up just to be safe. Because you know how people will flip out about the smallest discrepancies, and rightly so, but without doing their research, 2019 novel coronavirus is COVID-19. Just so we're very clear about that. COVID-19, formerly, now COVID-19, so on. So you guys can see it for the podcast. It says exactly what I was just saying. Now, the point as well is to show you that primary isolate is very clearly what we say it is, or what this is talking about. A pure microbial or viral sample that's been obtained from an infected individual rather than grown in a laboratory. So when the FDA's document from the FDA.gov, which is included in the show notes, or in the article that I've already published. Actually, I think I actually forgot to update that. Anyway, I'll put the links in when I'm done. As they're saying, since no quantified virus isolates of COVID-19 are currently available, and to be very clear, the difference between SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19, right, virus versus disease kind of concept, same concept here, it's saying that because of that, the assays, or their, it's a term that's used in drilling minerals and ore and metal and ore, things like that. It's also used in regard to, you know, investigating, researching down to a specific concept. So these, in regard to the assays, in regard to this, designed for detection of the coronavirus, RNA were tested with characterized stocks and division. They go on and on, basically talking about what they did since there is no isolated COVID-19. I mean, this is very clear. Thank you again for sharing this because it's right there on their website. It's impossible to misunderstand. Now, again, I'll run to the top here so you guys can see what we're talking about. And the reason she mentioned CDC is because this is in regard to the information of the CDC, right? But this is posted on the FDA.gov website. Okay, so it's just very, very important for us to wrap our minds around this. Now, what's important that they also point out is in regard to the PCR test. Well, actually, before we get to that, I wanted to point this out. I added this at the last moment because this is really important, right? As we're literally staring in the face of the FDA and the CDC stating what we already should know, that we haven't had, we don't have, as they put it, quantified virus isolates of the very thing that we're claiming exists. Why the fact that that can be the case, and yet right now, this very moment, we have the state of New York have bill. It's not passed yet, but we have bills that are right now in committee that relate to what they claim is just, well, simply the removal of cases, contacts, and carriers of communicable diseases who are potentially dangerous to public health. Well, that sounds pretty innocuous, right? Well, wait until you find out what it really says. Well, first of all, this is a bill right now going, that's in committee right now. It says, upon determining by clear and convincing evidence that the health of others is or may be endangered. So an objective perspective by the very local government that has already lied to you about any number of things and created, you know, a situation where they've got a third or almost more than a third of all the deaths in the entire country in three different locations, one of them being New York. But just think about that. These are the same people that chose to put people the way that they responded in regard to the nursing homes and so on. Bottom line is we have a lot of reason to question their decision-making process. So here they are saying, well, if we decide that if this person in general, their health situation that we deem to be whatever we say it is, endangers everybody else, well, we can take action and they may pose an imminent and significant threat to the public health, the individual. The point is the governor may order the removal and or detention of that person and or group of people by issuing a single order. So, I mean, hypothetically, it could be you as a sick person because they think you may be sick or think you may eventually get sick based on whatever new technology we're using. Or they could say, well, that whole group, that whole protest or that whole whatever that was out at that one time, well, they're all need to be detained right now because we know they're at risk. You see how this can be abused and played however they want it to go? Well, people, okay, first of all, people are going, well, maybe that's just for the best interest. It's not like they're going to do anything like, I don't know, force you to get oh, wait a minute. Here's where it talks about that. In addition to the removal or detention orders referred to in subdivision 2 of this section, and without affecting or limiting another authority that the commissioner may otherwise have, the governor, his or her delegate may, in his or her discretion, on and on, all the, you know, the legalese stuff, issue and seek enforcement of, and here's where it gets important, any other orders that he or she determine are necessary or appropriate to prevent dissemination or transmission of the disease. So you see this disease, you know, this biosecurity condition, they're building this scenario where anything that they claim based around, sort of how they used to use, you know, ISIS, or for a while it was mass shootings, or whatever the catalyst is. In this case, well, it's just you're a danger, right? If we think you're sick, we can basically, what it say there is, lock you up and take really any action that we deem necessary or appropriate to prevent dissemination of this thing that we're saying is there, but yet hasn't been isolated. Think about that. Or other illnesses that may pose a threat. So at this last part, they just kind of lump in anything, any other illness or whatever actions we may take. And again, of course, it says, including but not limited to, orders requiring any person or persons who are not in the custody of the department to be excluded to remain isolated or quarantined at home. Right? These are things that they're telling you that they will force you to do based on their assessment, to require the testing or medical examination of people, to require an individual who has been exposed or to an infectious disease to complete an appropriate prescribed course of treatment, preventative medication, or vaccination. Right? I mean, let's be clear. The only reason that writing is off center is because of my highlighting program that I'm using, but it says, or vaccination. Okay, so bottom line, so we're very clear about this. If this passes, this is saying that they have the right to forcibly vaccinate you if they feel you're a threat to public health, which would simply mean that you're sick. That's it. Or whatever variation they're in. Now, the point of this is not to say, see, this is what's happening, because all these blue checks and blind people were going to scream, it's not happening yet, which is what somebody literally just said about the Virginia governor saying he's going to mandate vaccines. So the guy stands up and says, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to make this happen, and I'm going to fight aggressively to remove all exemptions. And somebody, all they can say is, why are you freaking out? It hasn't even happened yet. It's like, what is wrong with people? I honestly think those are the kind of people that are not real, right? I mean, it's alarming if people actually think that way. But the bottom line is that this is there, and that governments right now are putting this stuff forward. Right? I mean, the point to think about why that's crazy is that we have people right now, those blue checks I just mentioned, who are actually saying that it's what we're staring at, what the bill is actually in their legislative process right now, calling for the ability to forcibly vaccinate you if they see a need for it. And yet simultaneously, if you just simply wrote that out without any context or source link, the blue checks would flip out and call you a crazy conspiracy theorist. Oh, you're so crazy. They would just go off about how you're so lost and you're a lunatic, as it's literally happening in front of us. That's what's important to see. So my point in showing you that one of many, as multiple governments all across our country, from the federal government down, are theorizing, discussing, and putting out the concept of how this will be mandatory, whether through social or financial exclusion or actually forcing it in your arm. The point is, it's happening, and they're all talking about it. And if you can't see that because some guy on Twitter said you were crazy for talking about it, well, then you're choosing to be suppressed by this kind of social engineering pressure. That's what all of this is really about. But do not miss the point that is very clearly stated, and it's always been there. I mean, I could think of three different conversations right now where people were saying, that's crazy, here's where, let me show you a bunch of scientific jargon because this has been isolated. It hasn't. And you can go right to the source and find out exactly what happened. That Koch postulates, as well as I forget the other terminology, were not completed, and they actually changed the process in order to reach what they wanted to find. Now, if you want to believe that they had good intentions and there was a legitimate process they went through, fine. It's not what happened. And doctors, multiple doctors, have spoken up and said that, and said that there's no justification for this. It's politics. So you just need to see that, hopefully, and come to the reality that this is being manipulated. Now, that doesn't mean anything other than it is being manipulated, right? That's the point. People try to jump to grasping, leaping conclusions. I have plenty of opinions, but we need to settle on the fact that we are being lied to. And another part of that document that I wanted to share, which was also pointed out, is under the limitations part. Now, this is in regard to the PCR test. Now, we know this. This is very clear, as has been stated by people who've used the PCR test for years before we ever used it for this purpose, including the actual creator of the PCR test, who had said, I believe he passed away, and this was before that. Either way, it wasn't extremely recently, but it was before this, where he said that this was not designed for this purpose. And I believe this was in regard to a previous virus that they were dealing with, or whether it was HIV. I don't remember the exact details. I went over this in a previous show. Bottom line is, it's on everybody out there to know these things and do your due diligence. Why can we be, how is it we can use the test where the creator of the test said this is not what it's meant for? And in fact, would create the very thing that they're telling us is not happening. Or in fact, telling us is happening, but they're pretending we're crazy for pretending that that action means anything. Meaning that these are inaccurate, that there's all kinds of false positives. But when we actually say, hey, you can't arrest me based on that, of course we can. Don't be a conspiracy theorist. Now, it says all users, this is in regard to limitations about these testing, about the PCR testing. Now, it says limitations. All users, analysts, and any person reporting diagnostic results, and this is interesting, should be trained to perform this procedure, which is a no-brainer. They should demonstrate their ability to perform the test. Now, the point is that right now, we already know that numerous people I know of multiple people I've spoken to personally who were given this test and they conducted it themselves and gave it back. Now, that's just one small point in the larger discussion, but doesn't that seem to directly contradict what the whole point of it was? I mean, we know that, though. That's like any other test. If it's not done correctly, it will get incorrect information. Maybe that's exactly why they suddenly switched away to saying, here's a swab, give me it back when you're done. Seems to like almost like they want it to be inaccurate. Now, it says performance of the CDC 2019 novel coronavirus real-time PCR diagnostic panel has only been established in upper and lower respiratory specimens. Which is, not all of these are exactly relevant. I just wanted to go through them and read them. The lower ones were the more interesting. Now, that one, something about that seems interesting to me. You guys chime in if you've got more addition to that. Negative results do not preclude a SARS-CoV-2, that's the same thing. So, 2019 novel coronavirus infection and should not be used as the sole basis for treatment or other patient management decisions, right? So don't use it for the exact thing that you're using it for, right? And that's different than what the creator said. This is simply saying that it shouldn't be used as the sole basis for this. Why? Because it's inaccurate. It's not meant for this. It says a false negative result may occur if specimen is improperly collected. You know, such as having people who are not trained, who have no idea what they're doing, do it themselves, and then hand it back. Now, it says positive and negative predictive values are highly dependent on prevalence. False negative test results are more likely when prevalence of disease is high. You mean like right now? Weird. And we're going to get to the case part next because that's what this is producing. This is producing an incredibly high case rate. In addition to the antibody tests, which are just adding to that, these are false positives, right? We also know they're conflating antibody tests with viral tests. We talked about this the moment this started. Suddenly, there's this big hip talk about all the... I mean, guys, this is what's so frustrating, is that there's talk about this stuff, even from slightly mainstream media things. We brought this up the day that they shifted into this new testing. The moment this happened, was the exact thing that we said. It's just interesting to note that that continues to happen. And channels like ours or the others out there talking about this stuff get censored. And then they get later vindicated for it. A lot of us out there, not just here. It says false positive test results are more likely when prevalence is moderate to low. Now it says do not use any reagent past its expiration date. The virus mutates in the PCR target region, may not be detected or may be detected less predictably. I mean, there's all kinds of caveats to these. Test performance can be affected because the epidemiology and clinical spectrum of infection caused by this is not fully known. Yeah, that sounds like where we are right now. And we're openly, they're openly saying these things. Of course, they wouldn't tell you that that then means that it could basically mean we don't know what we're doing. Detection of the viral RNA may not indicate the presence of infectious virus. Oh, where have we heard that before? Right? I mean, this, I believe I read this first on John Rappaport's channel. Or on his, his articles. And this is the fact. This is one of the things about the PCR test that John was screaming about when this started that nobody wanted to listen to. Right? And this is what I keep saying is then you get some guy, you know, some person in the Independent decides to write some slick little article off to the side to make it look like they're actually discussing the reality and take what he's been saying as if it's some new topic and then it blows up through social media. And it's frustrating that people like John have been screaming about this from the beginning. The point of this is that you can get tested with a PCR test and still be positive, but you are not infected or may never be infected. You may never be able to be even spread this possible virus. You can have, the point is that the idea is that you have to have a certain amount present in the body to actually create the disease, which means that you could possibly not even be able to spread it and that you could possibly still get a positive PCR test, but yet not be infected or even transmissible. I mean, you could ask any doctor about this. This is basic. But so what they're saying is they're testing everybody for this and getting positives and half or some or some number of them are going to be this way. So again, there's not a question of it's how much. To what degree are these numbers wrong? Right? That is the only legitimate question because we know as a matter of fact, these numbers are incorrect. Could be 1%, could be 70%. The reason that they don't want you knowing that is because they don't want you to realize that they're guessing, or I would put it more a spot on in my opinion, lying to you for what they're trying to accomplish. The performance of the test has not been estimated for monitoring COVID. Yeah, exactly what we're doing, using it for. Yeah, big surprise. The performance of this test has not been established for screening of blood or blood products for the presence of COVID-19. This test cannot rule out disease caused by other, right? Exactly. So remember when they said, oh, well, if you have the common cold, you might show up positive, but not actually have it. Yeah, right there. Because other things are there too, and we have no idea what we're doing. Now, look, you can argue that that's what happens when you're dealing with something new. That's fine. I'm not hating on them for trying to figure things out if actually what's happening. I'm saying, and hopefully this is obvious, that these things are being used to attack your rights, to remove things from you, to put you in jail. And if we know that they're not accurate, how in the world can that be the case? And still happening, mind you, right this moment. Here's Sky News on the 22nd of April saying exactly that. I mean, this is new information. The results might be inaccurate. You can watch the video in the show notes. It'll be down there for you to watch. Yet, here's what we're being told, right? Well, guess what? First case of reinfection. So should we blindly take this at face value or should we go, maybe it's an inaccurate test because there's about 1,000 ways it could show up inaccurate. More accurately, I just read about eight different ways that they're actively doing that they could cause a false positive. I mean, what about the people that tested, said they were sick in the beginning that never even got sick? That basketball player that said, hey, I could do a seven game streak right now, you know, and he never got any symptoms and he recovered, so they say, or he was never sick at all. The bottom line is that they're building off of this faulty information as if they already make conclusions, or they did make conclusions, but as if they already have definitive conclusions. They don't. That's the problem. Not that they're trying to find answers, but that they're using these flimsy and intentionally false answers, I would argue, to remove things from you, to put you in a hole, to force you to wear masks, to do everything, to turn the world into the controlled structure that they've always been trying to create. Now, this is a great video from Ivor Cummins saying that this is, I referenced him, I think a couple shows ago, talking about the case-demic. It's this, and again, this is something that we said the moment that this shifted, the moment that this shifted into the new testing scenario, which is right there, right? You can see right when it happened. You'll remember on the show, we said what they're doing now is they're talking about cases only and no longer deaths. Right? And now that's the big discussion now. Okay, but just remember where we talked about this. Now, this is the Casedemic Hysteria, Europe, in August 2020. Now, this is a great video. I want to play a couple parts of this for you. But just really take in the reality that this is what's happening, that they're hyping up the cases in every possible way while the deaths are simply petering out. Now, in a situation where they're actually deeming something a pandemic, of course that's relevant. Seemingly no longer in the mainstream media, though. I wonder why. Quick, look at the DNC. Look at over there. Oh, look, a shooting. Stop paying attention to the fact that we're being caught right now.
I continue to get asked about the Casedemic, so let me explain. Here we see many European countries, and they're all pretty much the same. Community immunity and the passing of the susceptible, like all viruses in history, has caused the death rate to come right down. Back here, there was an epidemic with high death rates, sadly, of susceptible people. And now there is no epidemic by any reasonable definition because the death rates and ICU are right down. Here's Sweden, intensive care loading. They only reached around 60% of capacity. And that was in the epidemic. But now
remember, remember that they kept saying that the experts say the deaths are going to come back up. Remember that whole thing? And remember when we did the show? Right past the time frame when they said it was going to happen. And then like a few days later, they came out and said, oh, it's here. We were just a little bit late. The deaths are coming back up. But they didn't though, right? They said that, they let it hang there, and then they just deviated into some other conversation. The deaths did not pick back up. You can see that anywhere you look, unless they take a little small caption of like a few dates in a row and point to one increase and say, look, it's increasing, but except it went back down every other day after that. I mean, there's so many examples like this where you don't need to look any further. Either they know they were lying or know that they were wrong and chose to not tell you that, or that they were just lying about it and now hope you don't notice. That's the mainstream media for you. They scream and scream and scream about this and here's the deaths are coming up, but it didn't happen. So for the very entity that's screaming about how this is the most important thing, shouldn't they be the first ones to stand up and go, hooray, we're past it. Hooray, we did it. Nope. All they did is shift into saying, well, cases there, cases, after the beginning was deaths. Why? It's pretty damn obvious.
Now, there's no epidemic, and there's only 32 ICU beds in the whole of Sweden, 10.5 million people. And they had no lockdown, no masks, and they're kind of just completely back to normal here. But if you kept testing with PCR tests, as is happening all around Europe, you'd get a Casedemic, and you could create a panic. So for PCR testing insights, you can go to CEBM PCR, searching in Google, and you get this excellent article from the Center of Evidence-Based Medicine. And the PCR is picking up people who are asymptomatic with no real problem. It's picking up people who had recovered from COVID a month or two ago. It's finding viral fragments. So the PCR test at this stage is driving hysteria.
Just to make a quick point. Somebody's pointing out that I said I lied, apparently. I didn't say the PCR test shouldn't be used for diagnostics, right? I didn't say that. Go ahead and rewind. Take a listen again. It's important to pay attention. Let's continue.
Appropriately. I'll just show you a few countries and finish with that. Here's Spain. So we've recently, in the last month or two, got hyper testing and lots of so-called cases, positive PCRs. But the deaths are gone. In fact, they disappeared pretty much in May.
Now, just one location, right? I mean, we've talked about Sweden. We've talked about a lot of these places. How is that not the biggest story? I mean, what is it they're actually expecting, right? I mean, they're going to continue to point to the cases increasing with the deaths basically non-existent. I mean, whether it's one location or all the locations, that is something that needs to be pointed out. Sweden is an obvious case that they're choosing to ignore. But here's other locations that are, you know, ostensible U.S. allies. Well, the fact that they won't tell you that and yet continue to not only, I mean, not just keep things the same, but actually intensify the restrictions. What does that show you?
Belgium, same story. Casedemic out here with positive PCRs, but no deaths or ICU. Ended in May. France, bit of a casedemic here, but the deaths are gone.
And there's France too, right? I mean, and take a note at the bottom, right? I mean, look at the actual dates. Okay, look at the time frame. This is going from, I mean, realistically, May, you know, end of April, all the way till now. And what's interesting, as he'll point out, and I don't know if I'm going to play the whole thing, I'm not going to play the whole video, but I'm trying to play a couple parts, but one thing he mentions, if I don't end up showing it to you, is the idea of the case spikes, right? Take a look at the weird spikes, right? What does that mean? How can you have this huge spike, but no corresponding deaths? And in fact, most of those huge spike locations corresponded with a decrease, a smaller death count. Why? Because they're increasing their testing scope and testing for antibodies and things like that that don't actually show you whether someone's sick, but simply whether they've ever had it. The CDC openly admitted to that, and nobody cared. The mainstream media didn't even blink at it. And that was the moment we said, here it comes. You're going to see a spike in cases and no death. That's what we said. I didn't say there would be no deaths, but that's the argument. And guess what? Here we are. I don't know why this could not be more clear, right? I mean, where's that guy that just ran away when I called him out, right? What do you have to say, right? What's the answer here? There is no answer. You're being lied to I guess that would be the answer, right? We're being lied to.
The impacts. And Netherlands, we got a big case demic going on with lots of testing, but you'll see months have gone by with no deaths.
And that's important too, because that's the interesting thing. We're seeing the governments there. Right? We're seeing the government suddenly shift their tune, even when we're in places like Sweden, where you see the leader of the country stand up at the CEPI conference, where they're all donating and, you know, gushing over giving money to all the worst people in the world. The point is that their leader stood up and said the same thing. We need to work together. Are you serious? Like, if you're going to stand up and not say, you all screwed up, we are the only ones that did the right thing, and then you're just part of the problem. But the point is that just because one individual, whether the top, middle, elsewhere, has that kind of opinion or is taken over by some kind of negative, you know, the wrong people, it doesn't mean there's not still people in their government that are fighting for this, such as the health minister, who has continued, and I'm not saying I know that for a fact, but it appears that way, as he's continued to stand up and challenge the narrative over and over, week after week, about masks, about everything. But again, even in the Netherlands or places like this, we are seeing their governments beginning to kind of step into or lean into the same lockdown, quarantine, mask idea, despite them actually proving that they didn't need it, didn't work. In fact, all the places that did, look at places like New York or these other locations that had aggressive and high compliance of masks. They didn't do anything for them, apparently. There's no justification for this other than the reality that this has nothing to do with the virus, or it has only to do with control. Using the fear, the scare tactic, just like we talked about with Derek's article in regard to the studies showing us that if they wanted to pick one thing, the perfect storm for creating authoritarianism, creating compliance in a populace, is a pandemic. History has shown that. And we have to know that our government is aware of that and likely, in my opinion, chose to pull the trigger on this. Because they've been trying to achieve this for a really long time with other tactics. Suddenly they said, hey, look at that. Pandemics, that's where it's at. Let's shift into that.
There is no following death or ICU problem. That's a case demic. What is going on? Well, I'll help explain what's going on, I would say. So this paper here was fascinating. A study done on around 50,000 people. And they tracked over 9 years all the respiratory infections.
I love the difference in the respiratory. I'm always fascinated by the differences of those pronunciations. I think I'm still here. Let's keep watching this.
And they also tested for all the virus variants that would be seen. And here's the output. And basically, we're not going to look at all the viruses, but we're going to focus in on coronavirus, which is the light green. And I'm going to highlight the winters. And in the winter, there's 15 to 20% prevalence of coronavirus. But you also will see 5, 3, 7% prevalence in the summer months as well. So you will always find viruses and virus fragments when you go looking. That's the point. This is very interesting from 2009 and the swine flu. So Ragnar Lives on Twitter pulled all this out from official documentation.
Government. So the point in this is to see that it's happened before. right? The same thing. It wasn't as politicized, even featuring Dr. Fauci. The same kind of scenario where there was a hype, cases increased, it was used to create fear, but the deaths weren't there. Even in the discussion of something called a flu chip, which is not necessarily what it sounds like. I looked into it because I thought it might be, but it appears to be something they use outside of the body and for testing different kinds of flu. If I'm mistaken in that and it's more devious, then reach out to me and let me know.
Documentation. So we see here the tracking in 2008 into 2009 flu season, and you know there would have been mortality there for sure. But then something fascinating happened. New PCR type rapid testing flu chip came in, and it was.
That's why it's relevant, is because it uses the same style of testing.
Was focused on looking at the swine flu. That was the flavor of the month back then. So what happened was, in the summer, there were really almost no deaths, but there was a huge freakout, a case-demic.
And we remember this. I mean, we should. This is what's so interesting. The swine flu, it was big hype. People were told, we were told to be scared. I mean, even right now, if you point to that and say that was a big lie, it was a big psyop, right? The government lied, it wasn't really there. People would laugh at you. Oh, people, the swine flu was dangerous. Oh, you know, I mean, I should have actually played that clip in the beginning of the 70s version of the same thing, where our government lied about the swine flu, where they said there was something happening and they didn't even have a single confirmed case. I mean, it's clear how they've been testing, how to use this biocontrol network through fear for a very long time. Some great interviews with Dr. Francis Boyle, who's been screaming about this from the beginning. Those are all biomanipulated weapons. They're all being used against you. Right? That's his take. It's important for you to know that they're out there.
See here in the orange, that's the H1N1. And there was an enormous panic because all these cases were being seen mounting and mounting. But they were primarily driven by, of course, PCR-type testing. And then into the fall, there was a lot of H1N1 being seen and huge amounts of tests. And again, people were panicking. But no one really died, or at least tiny numbers. And then it began to fade out, and they just gave up testing. I think the kind of panic faded.
Now this was nonetheless used to build its building blocks, right? Each one of these they use to build and temper your expectations and create this perception. And so it builds and it builds. I mean, it's no surprise that we saw one of these weird little panic outbreak discussions every couple of years, seemingly about every election period of time, right? And every single time you had this discussion about a pandemic, and it was MERS and it was SARS and, you know, and building with coronaviruses and manipulating it. It's very clear how this was used. Now, you could argue these were organic. I don't think that's the case, as Dr. Boyle himself would tell you. But doesn't mean they still were not used. Manipulated. Gain-of-function research, right? These are things that we're all hyper-aware of suddenly today. Hopefully you know why.
And that was it. But at the time, there were a lot of articles in mainstream media, you know, where there was clearly a huge amount of concern, and many.
Here's Dr. Fauci again, right? Playing his. I mean, here's what's interesting. Why, if he played a leading role in this one, was he not more known? Right? I mean, arguably COVID-19, I mean, whether because of reality or because of media hype, was turned into a worldwide event. But these things were discussed. I mean, H1N1 was around the world and back. Countries were discussing this. It was same kind of concept. So why is it that Fauci is this centerpiece on this then, or this now, than then he was just, I mean, nobody even knew who he was before then. Right? I mean, I argue this was a test. This was an attempt to test the waters, to see what's going on, to see how it can play, to see what people would buy, however you want to look at it. Today, we're in the real world exercise, if you will.
If you may have remembered this period of swine flu where everyone was really, really worried. Lots of articles, epidemics, global cases rise. And we had mask producers scrambling. Yeah.
Oh, what do you know? Mask producers scrambling, huh?
And worldwide, we had shortage of surgical masks.
So not only did they know because of the real world event that they were going to run out of masks, or there'd be a shortage, or blah, blah, blah. And then even, I mean, and this is just one of any number of things you could point to that they at least we're told these things would happen, right? And then they had multiple real-world exercises like Event 201, where guess what? It came to the conclusion that they were going to run out of PPE, that they weren't prepared, they didn't have enough medical beds. And so if you really believe that they did all these things because they wanted to be prepared, then there's only two things that you could look at here. Either they are just outstandingly incompetent and just did not care about the very purpose for these exercises, or they got the response they wanted and said, perfect, that's how we want it to be. I mean, there's really no other way to look at that. So either way, these people are lying to you, and that includes the Trump administration and everybody else involved on both sides of the two-party illusion. So just think about how stupid that is, that we've gone through these already, and yet we're still find ourselves in the same position. It's because it was a test, guys. That's my take, my opinion. But it seems pretty clear.
So this should seem familiar. Now, coronavirus in March, April, May of this year in Europe and in Northern Europe.
It's funny, there was a part that I wasn't going to play, but I mean, this is a great video, by the way. So I feel bad playing people's full videos, even though I'm jumping in between. I hope you will check out this individual's channel and look at the information that he's sharing, because I'm newly aware of his channel. So, you know, as always, just talking about one video is not endorsing everything they've done, but I'm going to continue to look into his channel, because I think this is good work.
U.S. and other regions like that caused a lot of impacts, you know, like some really bad previous flu seasons in the past 20 or 30 years. But the reality is now we are more in a case-demic, as I've described. And for the swine flu, similar...
Okay, so this is what he was talking about. You can see the blue spike is cases. And he points out that the yellow graph part... For those in the podcast, we're seeing a yellow graph that's pretty, you know, showing the normal death spikes throughout the seasons from summer to winter and so on. And they're pretty normal. And then you see the blue spike beneath it, but you see one big blue spike. Now, notice that one big blue spike, which is indicating cases, is at the point of the lowest spike in the deaths in years. Right, so how is that possible? How can you have this dramatic spike in cases, but at the lowest point in deaths recorded in years? Well, it's because exactly what he's making here, because they chose to test right there. They tested with PCR and it went through the roof, but it didn't correlate with deaths. That needs to show you that this PCR testing is faulty and is, in my opinion, being used for exactly that purpose.
Story, we see here the seasonal rise in mortality in the kind of yellow colored curve and air flu. But what's this spike here? A lot of panic, but you'll notice at the same time it's the lowest mortality. And an epidemic passes, it tends to just fuel a case-demic. So this article is very revealing. It's the swine flu panic of 2009 in Spiegel newspaper.
So we see these all the time, right? They come back around and like the one we showed you about the swine flu, right? The mainstream media comes out and says, oh, this was fake and they lied to you. Or not fake necessarily, but that it was, you know, that they made mistakes, that it was a swine flu panic that was unnecessary because it wasn't really based on the death and so on. Yet we fail to reflect on that to today as this, I mean, literally doing the exact same thing. And whether you agree that means the cases are hyped or not, even though that's obvious and verifiable, it means that they're using the same testing processes that they did in these past examples of case-demics where nothing ultimately happened. And then they come around and write articles and they say, hey, we made a mistake. It was all the PCR test and it was a bunch of false positives and blah, blah, blah. And then we just jump into this next one and it's the same thing. It's incredible.
Mainstream newspaper, the link is there, or you can Google Spiegel swine flu. Those words will get you the article.
Yeah, the link to his video, like every single other thing I ever talk about on the show, will be in the link in the show notes when I'm done. I might be live right now. I forgot if I posted the article. Either way, it'll be there when I'm done.
And it describes what really happened in that whole era. They don't use the word case-demic, but you will find it be very interesting. Forcing what I said. Here's Spain daily cases right up to August 6th. We got a case-demic going on here. But when you correct for actual mortality, real impacts, case fatality rate adjusted, you see that almost nothing is happening, as I said.
It's pretty hard to miss, guys. I mean, it really is. Hopefully you'll continue to look more into that for yourself, because it just can't be more clear. And that's the crazy part about that, is that we're talking about things like this, whether it be masks or testing or anything. And again, the point being that we're staring at it while being told we're crazy for saying that it exists. It's pretty intense. But again, to make his point, here we are today, even Zero Hedge. Italy sees biggest jump in new COVID cases. You know why? Because it's click-worthy. Because, and I'm not even trying, it's just people have businesses, right? Zero Hedge, anybody, that article, I wouldn't post that article, but that article will get people's attention. It will click, it will spread, and all the mainstream media, mindless masses out there that want to believe everything CNN and Fox News say will, oh my God, cases are, wear your mask, we're all going to die, right? But Italy sees biggest jump in new cases, right? But what hasn't happened is deaths. So why does that matter? Or at the very least, we should be saying, is it accurate? Is there something wrong? How, if nobody's dying, what does this even matter anymore? Now, I shouldn't say nobody, but it's, look, if they're basing this on the concept of a pandemic, based on the numbers that we were told in the beginning, we are so far below that threshold right now. Now all they're holding on to is, well, if we've got a single case, it could come back based on this threat that it's as dangerous as they pretended it was to begin with, even though we've proven that's not true. And around we go, right? And they'll just laugh at you and call you crazy when you try to talk about it so you don't get any actual information out. But here is the CDC actually rolling back even their quarantine restrictions. So what does this show you? It shows you that they do not think it is as serious as we're still being told it is. Still this moment, as the high wire Del Bigtree tweets this out, here's the actual article. CDC drops 14-day quarantine recommendation for travelers. So wait a minute. So the only reason that we're in the place we are now is because we did such a good job, right? Because we shut down the country, as Trump keeps telling us, because we took all the actions to save millions of lives, and we're testing and we're wearing masks and quarantining, right? And that's the only reason we're doing okay now, as our government wants us to believe. But the virus is still there, and it's still super dangerous. It's the biggest, as Trump and all the rest have told us, it's the most serious thing we've dealt with in the history of this country, or whatever the hyperbolic claims they keep making. The most deadly virus. Nobody could have seen this coming. Yet now they're removing the quarantine as they're telling us cases are increasing everywhere. Please explain how that makes sense to me. Or to anybody. How does that possibly make sense? It doesn't make sense based on the narrative they're spinning. If it's that dangerous and cases are increasing and it's going to continue and we're not going to go back to normal until we go old in 2022 or 21 with vaccines and so on, how in the world is the CDC saying, yeah, don't quarantine, it's okay. Go over to China, come right back, no big deal. It says the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Friday dropped its recommendation for travelers to quarantine for 14 days upon returning from trips overseas or out of state. So overseas, so anywhere in the world. It says, quote, you may feel well and not have any symptoms, but you can still spread COVID-19 to others, the agency warns. Quote, you and your travel companions, including children, may spread COVID-19 to other people, including your family, friends, and community for 14 days after you were exposed to the virus. So the CDC recommends travelers wear masks indoors. I don't know how that seemingly translates. Wash hands, maintain social distance guidelines, and monitor themselves for symptoms. Except, we're going to go ahead and say you don't need to quarantine, though. So we're straight up telling you the same line. We're towing the line. You're in danger. You could still spread it. Everyone's going to get you sick, but we're going to remove the 14-day quarantine. Now, this can either be taken one of two ways. Either they want this to keep spreading, or it's not as dangerous. Either way, that seems to challenge some pretty aggressively held narratives, wouldn't you say? On its website, the two-week recommendation was changed. The federal agency did caution travelers that they still can contract the virus. You still may get everyone sick, but we're not going to hold you. Let's just add this to the incredibly long-growing list of just disjointed narratives that don't make sense. It's a disgusting joke, especially while they're arresting people for violating these things that seemingly don't mean anything. Now, here's one other thing I wanted to throw on top of all this that I'm hoping other people will continue to look into. Now, this is a really interesting video that's basically making the claim that the PCR test, or specifically what they're testing for, is a sequence found in everyone's DNA. Now, this is beyond me, and this topic in general. I don't know how I would go about verifying this. So I'm going to put it out there for other people to consider. So I'm not telling you this is accurate, this is true, I don't know yet. And I found it interesting. Now, nonetheless, it seems that there's some kind of answer like this. Why that this test is so, whether that be that it's not isolated, which we just showed you is the case based on what they said, or any number of things. The PCR test is inaccurate, and that's being used for a reason. Now, remember the beginning when they said that ultimately that somebody sent, I don't want to misquote it, but there was a doctor in a certain location that said that here's the problem. What we're testing for is coronaviruses in general, not one or the other. And that's why it's so ubiquitous. And I found that fascinating, but no one ever followed up on that. So now we're finding something like this. Now, the point is, I'm interested in this. I went through the video. You know, this is not my forte in regard to DNA and this kind of science, but if somebody out there is interested and knows more about this and wants to try to fact check this and find out whether this is accurate, this seems incredibly important. Now, the problem is this is on a personal website, right? And they're just making statements. So I'm just not sure exactly how to confirm this. So, interested, please let me know what you think out there. But if this is the case and we're talking about something that's testing for something that's everywhere already, well, what do you know? We're going to find out that it's everywhere and that will be used to scare you. Now, right now, we're so critical of the death count. Maybe that's why it's kind of a gap here. Who knows if it's going to pick up again? The problem is that we're aware. These deaths are being hyped. The UK got caught. The US got caught. The CDC got, everyone's getting caught. They claim it's accidents, whoops, as they put you in jail based on those false numbers. But it's pretty damn clear that we're being lied to. So hopefully someone has some more information on this as we come around next, because I'm interested to see. Because it's a pretty big claim. Now, to shift gears, another topic in regard to something else that was shown to be, or rather admitted, let's say, by a by a official source, what they would say is a reputable source, right? In regard to masks. We've talked about this quite a bit, on and on and on. I don't need to rehash all of the studies that I think, in my opinion, have verifiably shown you that there's not enough evidence. Right up until the recent month of coming from people the CDC tapped to look into it, and they came back and said not enough evidence. The only people saying the opposite are people that have done, you know, meta-analysis of the same ones I've shown you and just stated something different. I wonder why that would be. As there's other doctors who came to the exact opposite conclusion, looking at the same information. It may be me start wondering if politics are playing a role, that they somehow came to a different conclusion after decades of the same conclusion, right? In the middle of a pandemic, based on the same studies. It's very clear this is trying to be driven, but here is the important part. As we just talked about this in May of 2020, where the CDC themselves repeatedly stated in this article that there is not enough evidence to suggest, it says in pooled analysis, we found no significant reduction in influenza with face masks. Whether influenza, COVID-19, is the same concept. There's different variables, yes, but the idea that there's no evidence of any reduction of transmission of flu, yes, that's relevant, especially seeing as how it's a coronavirus we're talking about here. Now, on this one, it says it also goes on to say that there is limited evidence for their effectiveness in general, preventing virus transmission, either worn by infected or uninfected, which is their whole narrative, that it saves grandma and all that. But they're saying right there that we found no evidence, or rather limited evidence. We couldn't prove that they had any effectiveness. Okay, so jumping to July 31st, mind you, after we saw some people jumping in with some weird studies that claim the opposite of what the studies they were pointing to actually said, weirdly enough, on July 31st, after that stuff, like after The Lancet, after all these mainstream articles came out and said, see, masks do work based on this ridiculously flimsy thing that points to things that don't say what they say it does. They came out and said this, and they released their guidelines, their guidance for community related exposure. And then at the bottom, in an asterisk, the second asterisk, mind you, added this part. No, and this was something that was mentioned, I believe, I'm going to forget this now. This was actually mentioned on Tucker Carlson. Interestingly enough. Now, I don't understand how that plays into that, whether Tucker Carlson is just somebody trying to fight for what he believes to be right from a controlled standpoint, or whether he's just a release valve in the propaganda machine. Who knows? I think you probably know my opinion. Nonetheless, it was pointed out on Tucker Carlson, which is where I saw that. This is on July 31st, mind you. I mean, it's incredible that this statement can be made a month later and they're still pretending like it's not there. It says, while research indicates masks may help those who are infected from spreading the infection, there is less information regarding whether masks offer any protection for a contact exposed to a symptomatic or asymptomatic patient. Therefore, the determination of close contact should be made irrespective of whether the person with COVID-19 or the contact was wearing a mask. So just in case that was unclear, let me translate here for you. While research indicates that they may help people who are infected from spreading, which means, so here's what's funny. The research is what they reference in the next sentence. So when they say while research indicates it may help, what they're talking about is the pundits and other people that have, like I just said, combed over old studies and just said different things. That's what they're talking about. The research indicated that there was not enough evidence they worked right up until this started, and they suddenly scrambled to make a different claim. I've made that abundantly clear on my show from 1981. There's probably far before that, but I found studies dating back to 1991, multiple studies almost every year up until now saying the exact same thing. Not only do they find that they cause health effects, that they do lower your blood oxygen level straight from the NIH, but they also found that there is not enough evidence of any reduction in transmission over and over and over. So when they say research indicates, what they're saying is the new talk. That's all they're saying. Then it goes on to say, but there is less information. Okay, less than what? You didn't give me a metric there. So you're just saying you have less than the research that indicates that they may help. That's all they're saying. So basically nothing. Let's make sure that's very clear. If all they're pointing to is this flimsy thing now that they suggest they may help, or observational discussions of years of ritualistic behavior, and then there's less than that in regard to masks offering any protection, that means there's basically nothing. And that's, by the way, what all the studies have shown, that there's no evidence. And it says there is less information regarding whether they offer any protection for a contact exposed to either symptomatic or asymptomatic, which seems to counter the entire flimsy narrative that they're trying to spread about the use of masks, or with your grandma or the children and how they spread it, even though they're asymptomatic. Well, they're straight up telling you that there's no evidence or limited less information of any protection of any kind. Then the most important part, therefore, the determination of close contacts, which, by the way, implies, contact tracing, control, the way that they're trying to suss out the people who may have been infected. Right. So in the determination of that process, that you should make your decision about who is in danger or who is sick, regardless of whether or not anybody was wearing a mask, irrespective of whether either person was wearing a mask. Basically, it doesn't mean anything. It has no effect. So make your decisions with that in mind. I mean, good God. It's incredible to me that we're even having this discussion still. It's insulting to our intelligence, again, as they're outright telling you and then saying, well, wait a minute, new information's arisen in the last 30 seconds and we just say something different now. Nope. No. Not especially as Fauci himself is going, well, you can't even have a study in the middle of a pandemic. Yeah, you don't say. So what in the hell are we talking about? We're talking about lies. We're talking about the deception of an entire planet, seemingly, for an agenda that should scare the bejesus out of you, because they're doing some things right now that have never been done before. And on top of the whole argument of masks, the CDC is even walking back. I mean, they're basically saying, do not embrace, don't approach these people anymore. Don't try to enforce the masks anymore. Don't argue with people who aren't wearing masks. It's just, it's very clear that I think that they kind of waded in a bit too deep in regard to legalities, right? I mean, unless this world flips on its end and the whole new thing begins anew and there's new technocratic control and, we're just a whole new scenario, we're going to come back to something where people are going to go, hey, you're liable. You are legally accountable for the lies that you sold, the fact that you forced people to do things that you knew were going to cause health problems, right? So now that they're saying, whoa, don't try to force it, because right now we've got people in stores who are taking it upon themselves to basically enforce an unjust, illegal mandate. So as they're telling you, don't do that anymore, right? No, you don't have to quarantine anymore, right? Don't worry. Doesn't this paint the picture of the opposite of what they're trying to tell us? Meanwhile, they're increasing all the lockdowns. That's pretty revealing. Here's BBC Newsnight, of all people, saying there's very little evidence for the use of masks in schools. Now, he also goes on to say, in general, that there's little evidence of mask use.
The evidence on masks is very unclear. And actually, I think that's in one...
Now, to be clear, he's saying in general, to start this out. I don't know why BBC would put this out at all, but listen to what he says.
This is very unclear. And actually, I think that's in one sense potentially going beyond... The evidence on masks is very unclear. And actually, I think that's in one sense potentially going beyond the evidence we have. There's lots of concerns about mask wearing for children, particularly younger children. It actually, because they touch their face, they're constantly worried about the mask, that actually could potentially spread the virus more.
Okay. I don't have to point this out. Does anybody think that only applies to children? Right? Do only children touch their mask when they put it on? Right? Deductive logic here, ladies and gentlemen. If it spread, if he literally just said that one of the problems is that, yeah, wearing a mask, as they've shown you, increases the risk of spread because you're touching it, you're putting it on, you're adjusting your face. And most of these people are wearing the same mask over and over at least more than once. Yeah. So as he tries to make that only about children, just realize that he just admitted that that's the problem. And they're making you wear them anyway.
I think for young children, it would be very clear. That is not a good idea.
No, it's not. So over 12.
For teenagers, again, I think we don't...
Okay, but even that, by the way, is not... there's plenty of places in this country that are mandating masks for kids under 12.
The evidence that this is useful. And I think we need to look at the way that teenagers transmit this virus. The evidence that they transmit in schools is not very high. There's interesting issues about the difference between in school and out of school. And... I get that actually people are worried about young people and teenagers and their behaviour, but actually very little evidence for the use of masks in schools.
But what about teenagers who transmit?
All right, yeah, so just who cares about that? Who cares about the evidence? Let's jump to the politically charged talking point, right? Good journalism there, lady, right? Let me do what I'm told. Who cares about the facts? Right. The point is, he just said there is little evidence for the very thing that we are mandating for kids all across this country right now. Right. This is not new. It's not unique. This is the fact. And it's infuriating.
Perhaps to parents or grandparents and the worry in multigenerational households that there's going to be a lot more of this. It's going to be virulent in schools, but they may be asymptomatic.
So I very much understand those fears. And I think we absolutely get the concern that many vulnerable people have. Mm. But if we go back to the science, if we go back to the evidence, young people appear to be as likely as adults to get the virus, and they can transmit, but in general, we're not seeing large levels of transmission in schools.
Interesting. It's just, it's really frustrating to continue to see it so clearly. And we've mentioned Sage in the past. The group that he's working for, that is, they've had some good, important things to say about the masks and a bunch of other topics. But we move, I'm actually glad I just remembered this. Something that was mentioned to me before I started. It was Gavin Newsom and Cuomo that I'm hearing now that they're basically saying that they're going to, whether the CDC decides that they should be locking down or not, they're going to continue to do so. No, I want people to understand how incredible that is, right? So we're at a point now where they have chosen, and this is kind of the same point that I've been making, right? That they've used estimates and CDC mandates or guidelines to remove your life from you on something that we now know, as a matter of fact, was not even close to what they said it was, but they're still holding on to that. They removed your life. They destroyed the economy. They destroyed your job, your livelihood. I mean, all of these things, they destroyed everything that you knew in your life, other than where you live and your family. They destroyed it, right? Based on estimates. Now we're at a point where we've got far, far, far more information and they are pretending like it's not enough. Like we're willing to take your life away based on limited information, but with far, far more information, they're not willing to give it back to you. Right. So in this case where we're seeing Gavin Newsom and different people stand up and say, well, I know the CDC saying we could go open back up, but we're not going to because we care about you. Right. What they're doing is holding on to power. They're holding on to the I mean, And again, think about how crazy it is that they listened to the CDC to take this dramatic action based on limited information. But now that the CDC's gotten more information, whether you think you can believe them or not, and they're saying go ahead and open back up, or, you know, or rather lessening their restrictions, the fact that they're saying that we're not going to listen now, but we did then. What does it show you? What's the difference there? The only difference is the acquisition of power versus the relinquishing of power. They don't want to let go. And they're not even going to listen to the group that they're telling us we have to listen to. We're off the rails here, guys. And I think that's important. This is Democrat, Republican. It's the same difference here. It's all driving forward in this same manipulation. Now, another point on the mask before I move forward that I had to share from Brian, that is just, this is the absurdity we're in. Now, as I can show you 1,000 other studies like this one that say very clearly that there is no evidence of reduction in transmission, we jump forward to things like this, where so we know that that's the case based on what they're telling us. We know that the numbers are not as bad as they were saying, because that's what they're telling us. We know that this is dramatically less severe. The deaths are basically gone in most places. So mandating masks in general is ridiculous. But then just to do something like this, what is the point of that? Right? I mean, Fauci himself will say, okay, your eyes, you can get transmitted. So it's about minimizing the idea. So you're putting on a mask with an open hole for your mouth, in which you put an object that has been sitting out, that's been touched by you and whoever else. The point, nonetheless, that whether it's a sanitary object or not, opening the mask for your mouth removes the reason for it. So the point of having these kind of things is about compliance. You are being socially engineered. They are gauging your reaction and how willing you are to comply with this stuff. It's just as ridiculous as this. Remember this? This guy who had a contraption where he would press his hand and it would open his mouth, his mask, so he could eat. But doesn't that remove the reason for the mask? If you're opening it to eat, yes, it does. The point is people aren't thinking that far ahead. And also you have to think about, if people are making things like this, it means that they had these things in production for a while, especially this, and that this isn't going away. That this is the new normal, just like they keep telling you guys. My point is, if you're going to be wearing a mask with a big damn hole in it, you shouldn't be wearing a mask at all, right? So what's the point? Why not take it off to play the instrument, then put it back on? You take it off when you sit down at dinner, right? Oh, don't worry, guys. We have to wear it to the table. Then you have to take it off. You can take it off while you're eating around four other people. Who cares, though? There's no logic to any of it. It's compliance. It is making sure you comply, just like her, complying without any logic to it. And as Richard points out, in a very sad way, he just watched a 6-year-old girl on BBC beg to be masked to save her family. This is the kind of despicable propaganda that's coming from these ridiculous propaganda machines. He says she was reading a script off the camera. The BBC hid child abuse. We know that. But when you are protesters going to stand up and walk out child abuse, the point is here, guys, let me ask you this. Let's just say everything about that's legitimate. Let's say that she is begging because her family's at risk. What validity does one individual child and their upset emotional state have to do with anything? Does she know what's really going on? She's a child. What they're doing is saying, here, be upset. You know, let this outrage you so it circumvents your logic. So you're not thinking, wait a minute, you know, why does this have any relevance on the bigger picture and what's going on today, right? One person crying about something that she was told, like, does she know that that's what's going on? Does she know that COVID is real? Does she know that it hasn't been isolated? Does that little child know anything about what's going on? No, they're using it just like they use people like this that we've shown you countless times. You know, like Bana in Syria, or like any number of people that they use who were verifiably shown to be fake, not fake people, but being manipulated, being fed lines to say what they wanted them to say. This was despicable. Some of the way that they used that little kid, Omar, who they grabbed and painted up and got him to look like he was all messed up, and they put him in the ambulance. And then his father came out later and said they made it all up, that they took him without his permission. right? This is your mainstream media, guys. This is the BBC. You know, sort of like the BBC producer who admitted that they staged bodies in Douma to make it look more alarming. Fake the whole damn thing. Douma was a false flag, as the OPCW, the honest people of the former, the now defunct OPCW, had admitted to us. So when we see this kind of thing, where this girl is begging for, please, put a mask on, right? It has nothing to do with science. It has nothing to do with her family or whether they're even real. It's about emotionally outraging individuals to attack people who are not conforming. That's what it's really about. Now, again, I reiterate the idea that whether or not you believe what she's saying, what actual, you know, intellectual value does a crying child have to do with anything? That is despicable propaganda they're using to emotionally manipulate you. And it's sort of things like this that show you that we're being psychologically engineered. This was pretty disgusting to me. Now, look, I understand you could argue the logic is to so you're not facing with your masks and all of that. But look at this. Here's your coronavirus, you know, your signs that are permanent apparently now. Keep your distance, pass others quickly, look away when passing other people. Right? Is that necessary? The idea that the whole mask and the social distancing, right? Looking away from other people is one of my biggest concerns about this whole thing is the lack of human contact. The human race is going to be irrevocably altered. Like this is going to change the way that let's make it very clear. Skin to skin contact, human contact, be it with children and their parents or individuals, is not necessary. It is absolutely mandatory for a healthy life. If you do not have physical contact, you are absolutely lacking in an essential part of what it means to be a human being. And what they're doing right now is depriving everybody of that. In fact, even saying, don't even look at them. Look away when you're passing other people. Be scared because other people represent danger. Only trust the government, right? And just to include a humorous thing I thought was hilarious that John shared here, there's a 0.01% chance of rain, and I'm appalled that nobody outside is using their umbrella. I don't think that needs to be explained. I thought that was pretty spot on. And of course, while we know the things we just went over, the masks, hasn't been isolated, and, you know, everything else we pointed out on this show over the 8 months that we've been dealing with this PSYOP, well, riot police are storming a bar or bars in other locations over no social distancing. So let me ask you, does it make sense to send in people who aren't social distancing to stop people who aren't social distancing? Right? This was the same nonsense from the very damn beginning of this thing. How can you arrest somebody and violate the very thing that you say puts everyone at risk? So by doing that thing, aren't you then putting people at risk? I mean, I guess you could stretch it to be like, well, because they're doing it now, that means they're probably going to keep doing it. So we should step in and stop them now, even though we're putting them at risk to do it. But then doesn't that then go on to say the police will also keep going on to do it? Yeah, it will. But then they also go put these people in jail, which in there, they're not social distancing, as we've shown you 1,000 times. So you're breaking social distancing to, again, break social distancing to enforce social distancing. That has got to be the stupidest thing I've ever even said. That's ridiculous. But then on top of that, they're storming in this bar with violent force because of lack of social distancing. You know why? Because they're trying to scare you. This is what happens when you don't do what you're told. So you better do what you're told. Here's a woman being beaten by Spanish cops. And we just showed you Spain 3 times. No deaths. Let's take a look. This is what happens when you don't wear a mask properly in Spain. Now, look, you could say, you know, look, who knows? Other things happen. The video starts in the middle and so on, right? That's always the case. Does that change the fact that this man, who's obviously an officer, hit 2 women? You can look at her. You can see that her arm is red. He's hit 2 women unarmed with his billy club, with his baton. It doesn't even matter what happened, right? And yes, it was because they weren't wearing their masks properly. Or at the very least, that's what started this whole altercation, but this is what's happening everywhere. I mean, she's clearly crying, you know? I mean, that's... to show you in the beginning. Look at that. That was hard. Look at that. I mean, how is that even possibly justified? Eat her again. This is where we are right now, guys. And the point is that this is being there. Look, if this was happening in, remember in China, you know, the horrible things happening there in the beginning that are also happening to us now, whenever, oh, look at how bad that was. You know, oh my gosh, look at this and look at that. Now it's happening to us and they don't care. Right? No one's going to call. Look at Spain. Look at how bad and authoritarian they are. Right? It's hypocritical. Now, yes, it's happening everywhere. You know, and of course, that's also happening within this false two-party illusion where people are attacking. I saw a tweet today these progressive pundits are attacking the U.S.'s response, but they won't point out how bad Russia is. And it's like, what does that have to do with anything? I mean, if we're talking about the worst countries in the world in their responses and you left out Russia, well, yeah, that would be ridiculous. But if you're pointing out as an American that your country's doing, your government is doing bad things, and then all they do is go, well, look, you didn't talk about Russia. That is a childish deviation. That has nothing to do with anything we're talking about, unless you then pretend that they weren't doing that. Right? The same point goes for any of this stuff. This is the same reason I make that point in reverse. When I say, here's the United States screaming about how, you know, Venezuela does this or Iran does that, while ignoring that Saudi Arabia does it or Israel, right? It's the same thing in reverse. To pretend like you have to equally disparage all countries when you want to point out your government's faults is just a manipulation. People that don't want you to point out that this government is aggressively off the rails, as a lot of them are today. It's pretty disgusting. I mean, I see a lot of people making statements in the chat, as usual. That's fake, or this isn't real, or that person did this. Sure, possible. You know, I didn't see any verification. It doesn't matter, though, guys. This is happening. Does anybody disagree with that? Happening all across the board. I've seen 1,000 examples of this. This is one of about 5 that I had that I just didn't want to include all. Right? This is happening. And people are 100% being attacked for not doing what their government is telling them to do, even though those mandates are against the law. Now, as this article puts it, as Sweden's COVID-19 measures hint at herd immunity, U.S. experts rethink lockdown strategies. Now, this is, again, to think about the idea of people like Gavin Newsom and Cuomo and saying that they're going to do what they think is best, regardless of what these people now say, despite saying that here's what the experts say, and if you disagree, then you get arrested, or you go to jail, or you get fined, or you get quarantined, except now we're not going to listen to them either, but you still have to. Does that make any sense to anybody? As Sweden continues to enjoy a falling COVID-19 infection rate, because they did it, this is something that they did, right? Sweden took the actions that verifiably led to this action. So they try to make it sound like some kind of, you know, random consequence. Leading health experts have suggested the country's decision not to lock down or require masks has resulted in herd immunity. So now they're grudgingly beginning to go, well, we can't keep ignoring Sweden. It's so clearly a success. So they're beginning to grudgingly admit that, well, maybe they got what's obviously happening right there. It says, according to the European CDC, Sweden has an infection rate of 37 cases per 100,000, far lower than France's 60 per 100,000 and Spain's 152.7 per 100,000, despite imposing months of lockdowns to varying degrees, right? Think about that. I mean, they locked down, and no matter how you spin it, and by the way, both had, you know, I believe, pretty high compliance with masks. They also are way worse than Sweden, and they didn't do any of those things. Now, it says, meanwhile, lockdowns and the ensuing economic fallout have had a significant impact on mental health, right? This is why Sweden had done none of those. No lockdown, no economic attack, no mandates of masks, no quarantine, none of it, right? Recommendations, that's it. You know, like an actual free place. And every other place, U.S. included, has destroyed themselves. And that on in and of itself has had a significant effect on health and mental health, which, by the way, is a undiscussed boon for Big Pharma. No one's going to get into that, but it's absolutely doing that. All the mental health problems and all the issues and all the things that are going to come from this is going to be something that they are seeing dollar signs about right now. And of course, I wanted to point out that California is just it weirdly disjointed, like the other parts, the CDC part, saying, well, it's okay for kids to return to school, but only if they have special needs. Okay. Well, explain that one for me. right? So apparently COVID-19 doesn't affect special needs kids, or apparently the need for them to go to school outweighs the possible risk, but not enough for the other kids, right? Don't try to think too hard. There is no logic to this. It's just simply that they're more important because they have more needs, right? It's this idea that, I mean, we're in a society today. It's the same kind of idea of pretending like one group of ethnic individuals deserves a vaccine over somebody else or so on, right? I mean, it's the way that we pretend that we're trying to fight racism in this country, but in as we inherently put in racist policies, right, that are essentially saying these people are more important over these people. And that applies in all kinds of different ways. Or they're more just, you know, they've been more aggressively affected by the policies of our government, which I would agree with. But at the same time, then ruling that this one has more over this or vice versa, right? This is the thing. It's why are these special needs kids different than anything else? There is no logic to it. It says more California children with specialized needs, such as students with disabilities or those who are homeless, right? What? Why? Why are, if they're homeless, has, why does that any difference? As far as I understand it, homeless populations have been completely missed. Because that totally, that's not, that's total, that doesn't challenge everything, right? These homeless individuals who don't have as high sanitation, who aren't social distancing, who aren't wearing masks, seemingly completely got passed over. I talked about this recently. They don't care about that. They're baffled. They don't understand it. We don't know why the homeless populations aren't hurt. Gee, maybe it's because we're not actually looking at what you're telling us we're looking at. Either way, you're saying here's a group of kids who are at the low, one of the lowest, your kids and you're homeless. So you're basically completely not being affected by this. And we're going to put you back into schools, which I guess you could make that that's maybe why. But then at the same time, they're not using that argument in other ways to say, look, why are these? So anyway, the bottom line is, you could argue that the effect it has on children, which is dramatic, the lack of socialization, I mean, all these different things is catastrophic. It says, we'll be allowed back in classrooms even as most schools remain shut for in-person learning, but just disabilities and homeless people. I just don't get it. Am I missing something? I mean, the inherent claim is that they're in more need. So they, I guess that supersedes the risk. I mean, it's just silly. It's the same idea that saying you can take your mask off while you're eating. Well, we got to eat, right? Okay, well, if you're at risk, then don't go out to dinner. Or, I mean, the fact that you make it allowable, you're arguing that the desire to go out and be around people in a restaurant is more important than the possible risk. But then at the same time, you're telling us this is the most dangerous virus in the world and that we don't do this, we're going to go to jail. I mean, none of this stuff adds together. It doesn't. But according to these people, because they're special needs, then it's just the risk is just not as dangerous as going back to school. Or at the very least, these kids aren't in danger at all, as I think is pretty clear, but yet they're only allowing some of them to go back to school. I mean, it's just none of this makes sense. And it's infuriating that people can't see that. But I want to talk a little bit about somebody that we've been covering for a while, that Derek Brose has been covering extensively on both his platform and The Last American Vagabond. And this is in regard to Bill Gates. And this is actually really interesting. He did a great video on this today. Today. Finally, somebody in the mainstream media exposes Bill Gates. Now, this is a great video I wanted to include to give him first a shout out for covering this, because this is where I saw it, as well as to check out his actual videos to show him some support. Here's the article he's pointing to. I'm only going to go over a couple of things he points out in the beginning of the video. I hope you will read this article in its entirety as he asks and watch his full video. But this is really fascinating because these are things that we have been saying, and that's one of his main points, is that Derek himself has been attacked by mainstream media for being conspiracy theorists, right? For you're spreading conspiracy fake news about Bill Gates. And yet they'll come out in this article and say exactly what we're saying with a little bit of a lighter tone, you know, offering up the caveat that maybe it's not nefarious and just accidents, or, you know, the way they try to frame it is different. But they're saying everything that we have said. All the concerns, in fact, look at the title, Journalism's Gateskeepers, right? The fact that they're controlling journalism, controlling the direction of this stuff is exactly what they go over in Columbia Journalism Review. But of course, it's not fake news when the mainstream media does it, right? You get the point that it's only fake news and conspiracy theory when we say it before they do. That's it. or argue that they even wanted it to be said, and now they have to drip this out to make it seem like they're actual journalists, when in reality, they're all a bunch of liars. Now, who knows? This person could be genuine. I mean, I'm just speaking in generalities because that's what I see as the mainstream media, but it's a great piece of journalism. This article is fantastic. It really does go over some really important things. Now, as always, Tucker Carlson and so on, release valves, who ultimately knows? Doesn't change the fact that this stuff is true. Now, as it says, if you squint as you read the story, you'll notice that every quoted expert in the NPR article that they reference in regard to basically making Gates out to be some superhero, if you squint, every source that we quote, every expert is connected to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. What do you know? Oh, you conspiracy theorist, which helps fund the project. And if you're really paying attention, you'll also see the editor's note at the end of the story, which reveals, oh, guess what? NPR itself receives funding from Gates. But of course, the NPR goes on, funding from the Gates, quote, was not a factor in how we did the story. Well, let's just trust them on that, because that's obviously a safe bet based on mainstream media who doesn't lie. I hope you can hear the laugh in my voice. It says, speaks to a larger trend, an ethical issue with billionaire philanthropists bankrolling the news. Right, real philanthropic to basically fund news outlets that are more favorable to your interests. It says, as philanthropists increasingly fill in the funding gaps at news organizations, which is really important because they're failing across the board right now, guys. These mainstream outlets are a failing model, and that's why they're trying to take over YouTube, because they know that. And so right what now is happening, as we got people like us that are producing these things with a laptop and a 4K cam, they have 15 cameras and different lighting setups and makeup artists, and, right? They can't fund this stuff anymore because people don't care about their lies anymore, at least not enough to get the same funding they were getting before. So that's why you see paywalls and people saying you have to fund it. But nonetheless, as they're saying is, guess who's stepping up to fill the gaps? People like Bill Gates. That's really important to think about. It says a role that is almost certain to expand in the media downturn following the coronavirus pandemic. And an underexamined worry is how this will affect the ways the newsrooms report on their benefactors. Right. I mean, whether you believe this is a stated intention or stated byproduct of the funding or not, you know it will play a factor. Think about any, if you've ever worked at any job in your life and you find yourself in a position where you may say something that will get back to the boss and make them mad at you, you won't say that thing. Right? Or you may try to keep it secret. Nonetheless, you know in your mind that it could find its way back to the boss and it could be bad for you. Same thing here. CNN, Fox News, it doesn't matter. They will not go out of their way to make their benefactors look bad because that's their profit model. I mean, this is basic deductive logic, guys. Now, you'd like to believe that they would be righteous and altruistic and not factor that in, but no, but who actually believes that? I mean, even actually altruistic people will still make that choice because how else are they going to tell the truth in other parts if they don't have their funding? I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying realize that that is a fact, that because they're funding these outlets, they will have an influence on their direction. It says, nowhere does this concern loom larger than with the Gates Foundation, a leading donor to newsrooms and a frequent subject of favorable news coverage. Oh, no. We didn't see that everywhere. Gates making his rounds, being projected as some kind of health medical expert, even though he's got none of those things. He says, the author recently examined nearly 20,000 charitable grants that the Gates Foundation had made through the end of June and found more than $250 million going towards journalism. $250 million going towards journalistic outlets propaganda outlets. He says recipients included news organizations like the BBC. Oh, you don't say. The NBC, Al Jazeera, ProPublica, National Journal, The Guardian, Univision, Medium, the Financial Times, the Atlantic, the Texas Tribune, the Gannett, Washington Monthly, Le Monde, the Center for Investigative Reporting, charitable organizations affiliated with news outlets like the BBC Media Action and the New York Times. So even groups that are being used as middlemen are then also being funded by these groups. I mean, come on. It says organizations affiliated with news outlets like the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund, media companies such as Participant, whose documentary Waiting for Superman supports Gates' agenda on charter schools, Journalistic organizations such as the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting, well, that seems relevant, the National Press Foundation, and the International Center for Journalists. All these things are being funded. All of them keeps going. And a variety of other groups creating news content on or working on journalism, such as the Leo Burnett Company, an ad agency that Gates commissioned to create a news site to promote the success of aid groups. So he paid a company, an ad agency, that Gates himself commissioned to create a news site to promote his aid groups. Are we going to pretend like he openly told everybody that that was his group that he created in order to do that? Of course not. These went out and they promoted things, and that's the same concept of funding the BBC and having them then promote his agendas. In some cases, recipients say they distributed parts of the funding as sub-grants to other journalistic organizations, which makes it difficult to see the full picture of Gates' funding into the Fourth Estate. Yeah, exactly. Meaning it's probably ubiquitous. Now, it says the foundation even helped fund, I mean, first of all, someone with his kind of resources, why not make that the case? Why not make that the goal? Probably what we're dealing with right now, which is why it's, you know, dark, but you can't see it. It's using other groups, like probably the groups he created, to then fund other groups, which makes it hard for you to see. The foundation even helped fund a 2016 report, this is ridiculous, from the American Press Institute that was used to develop guidelines on how newsrooms can maintain editorial independence from philanthropic funders. Oh, it's so dumb. They have him to have the very person who is doing the thing that they're, he's, it just makes me laugh out loud. Having Bill Gates show you how not to be influenced by him. Oh, God, it's just so dumb. I mean, I hate that it's this obvious because it makes me wonder why people can't see it so clearly. It says, during the pandemic, news outlets have widely looked to Bill Gates as a public health expert on COVID, even though Gates has no medical training and is not a public official. But every single outlet, almost like they were told to, were happy to give him time. PolitiFact and USA Today, run by the Pontier Institute and Gannett, the ones he's funding, respectively, both of which have received funds from Gates, it says, Gates Foundation, have even used their fact-checking platforms to defend Gates from false conspiracy theories and misinformation, quote, they say, quote unquote, like the idea that the foundation has financial investments in companies developing COVID vaccines and therapies. Right? Because according to those fact checkers who are being funded by Gates, they say that's fake news. But as the article itself, right? As the Columbia Journalism Review itself says right here, in fact, the website of the foundation and most recent tax forms clearly show investments in such companies, including Gilead and CureVac. So basically saying, well, yeah, they're obviously true. So these fact checkers that Ben Swan and Derek Brose and all the people pointed out and made videos about are willfully misrepresenting the reality for people that are paying them to do so. Or they just got it wrong, you know, however you want to perceive this. Either way, you're being deceived. I think it's pretty damn obvious what's actually going on here, don't you? It's one person among many, but somebody who is a linchpin in what's actually going on right now in front of you. Now, here's a video from Ben Swan on a similar topic in regard to Bill Gates. Now, I really hope you'll watch this full video. It's an interview with Mickey Willis for yourself. But I just want to play one little part of it from the beginning. Because you can see the question coming off discussing Bill Gates and how he funds people and outlets to cover up and hide and manipulate information. That's my take on it. Did the Gates Foundation actually sterilize hundreds of thousands of young girls in India? Spoiler alert. Yeah. And guess what they also did? Somebody deleted and covered up and removed, memory hold, all of it. All of it. It's kind of alarming, don't you think?
Has the history of the Gates Foundation and vaccines in India and in nations across Africa actually been scrubbed from the internet?
And so we literally had to go to the people in India who were there, part of the parliament, to say, none of this stuff exists online anymore. And they say, yeah, we know. It's gone. All the girls that were harmed and all the court cases that we had televised and all of that, it's there's nowhere to be found.
my exclusive interview with the director and maker of Plandemic 2 about what he has found and what he says 10 years ago existed that today simply you can't find online.
The Indian Parliament formed a committee, and it was to me a rather surprising move because you generally don't often have such a high-level inquiry into matters affecting poor people. And that was such an extraordinary report.
In case you didn't hear that, he said in matters of protecting poor people, which is fascinating to think about. You know, that this is, it's unheard of to have government standing up for so many poor people. That's just kind of sickening to think about. But let me just play that clip again.
High-level inquiry into matters affecting poor people. And that was such an extraordinary report. I don't think Indian Parliament has ever come out with such a scathing report. And the government officials came up and said, we shouldn't have authorized this. We're sorry. We're not going to allow them again. And now they're back.
After a very thorough, and his words, scathing report that came from this investigation, that not only had the Gates Foundation and the organizations that he was partnered with, not only did they lie and say that they weren't doing trials, but they also told the thousands of young, mostly women, that were involved in these trials that they were just getting wellness shots.
God, it's just so sickening to think about. You know, I mean, look, there's only a few ways that you can look at this, right? Let me get my shot back up here. I mean, there's only a few ways that you can see this, right? I mean, either they're lying, right? That the government of India, the people involved, that they're just making it all up. Even though it's clear to see that these things were there and that they have been scrubbed from the internet, but either way, that the information could be wrong, or that there was something weird that happened there. Whether it was that they tried to do good and they messed up and then they covered it up, or they went there with nefarious intentions to test some kind of new product or vaccine or however you want to look at it. The bottom line is, it's very clear based on Corbett's past videos on this and the facts from the Indian government that this did happen, that the all-cause mortality after the things that they did, and I may be talking about two separate situations here in regard to the specific one he's pointing to, but in broad sense, the all-cause mortality from these experiments on these people dramatically increased after in the years following their tests. I mean, that's a verifiable fact. So in what he's saying here is that this is something that did happen and that it's being suppressed, that they're hiding this stuff, which needs to show you an all-encompassing control network. And I mean all-encompassing. If this is off, this is being removed from the internet around the world, that means that we're including the ostensible enemies of the U.S. government. Right? What's really going on here? If they are completely removing this from the world, why? Unless they were trying to hide the reality from you. And as he says, that their government is saying they not only covered it up, they lied to these people. They said, we're giving you wellness checks, you know, vitamins and stuff, and then pumped them full of things they didn't know about. Now, they would never allow that to be shown to be the case, right? They're going to say we're false, fake news, conspiracy theorists, despite the reality that it's very easy to look up. And ask the people, the experts and medical professionals in India that are telling you that that's what happened. Why isn't it on the internet? I hope you'll watch the full interview because it's fantastic. And there's a lot of really important information in there to check out. But to keep going forward in this discussion and the idea of what they're building as they lie to you, right? As they build, I mean, really, as this stuff happens. You can watch the evolution of what they're discussing in this video all the way to where we are now. And as I've shown you this video before. It's right here on the App Eject website, right? It's unlisted, interestingly enough. It's right here if you want to click on it. Now I want to play this again because there's another part of this that seemed a little bit interesting that I sort of glossed over in the past because I was more focused on the idea of the RFID chip, which it also mentions in this video. But I wanted you to see the part that references one of the key culprits in all of this and how this is from April 17th. You'll see it when it pops up. And if you don't, I'll mention it anyway.
Today, the world is battling a global pandemic and there's plenty of work to do. Some needs are obvious, like developing medicines and vaccines. Some needs are less obvious, like finding a faster way to put those medicines and vaccines into small glass vials so every person in America can quickly get vaccinated. This task sounds simple, but it's surprisingly hard. America has 330 million people, all of whom will likely need 2 to 4 injections. That means packaging between 660 million and 1.3 billion doses of a vaccine.
Now, I'm going to try to pause this intermittently just because, by the way, I didn't even mention the beginning. I got another hit from YouTube on a separate video. Why? Because I played Dr. Fauci on 60 Minutes saying that masks aren't necessary. They actually gave me a hit for that. Right? The bottom line is, that's fair use. Obviously. And they know that. The point is, whatever reason, they want that video to be restricted because of what he said. Isn't it? The bottom line is, it's fair use. And it's, oh, I get hit almost every time I play that. So playing this, I'm probably also going to get hit for it. But I try to stop in between, talk about it, so you know. But it's just, it's a joke that it's so clearly fair use when you're playing something in a news broadcast, but yet they just use it to lie and suppress and attack in every way they can. But what you're talking about here is the point I keep making into why they keep the basic claim that this will all be gone when we get a vaccine, that we can all go back to normal when we get a vaccine. That's they know that's not true. Because it's not just when we get a vaccine, but it's when that vaccine is then produced and sold and distributed and actually given to people, you know, and then enough and all 4 injections and then enough time to make sure that they're good and to make sure that it works. I mean, on and on and on. That's why Bill Gates says 2022, right? I mean, again, I argue that most people would not want to believe that this will continue until 2022 and then which will then continue forever, which is what I promise you is going to happen unless we stop them from doing so. But the point they're going to get into next is that there's an incredible amount of supply chain issues that they have been talking about since April. But how much you want to bet, those supply chain issues will be the focal point of discussion once this starts happening. And we'll, oh, well, that's why we have to wait for these and wait for that. And we have to put this off until 2022. And yep, but they knew about this. And remember, they knew about this back in 2008 when they did their exercises and discussions of swine flu. And then they did it again in Event 201. And they realized they didn't have enough of this and enough of that. And they still didn't do anything. And here we are again. But this is what they're arguing, that we don't have enough of these things. So there will be some problems.
Which requires an enormous number of glass vials and syringes. We have some of those glass vials and syringes in stockpiles, but not nearly enough. And it will take at least 12 months to get the needed amounts. We can't wait that long.
Okay, so he's talking about it's April 17th, so 12 months from just getting the things they need, right? We're well into 2021. And then we have to distribute and execute. But that's why they're driving you in this direction, because don't worry, because we've got a solution, problem reaction solution, which is the RFID chip app eject syringe. But keep watching.
And even if we somehow got all the glass vials and syringes, we will also need specialized filling machinery to fill all those vials. Again, we have some, but not nearly enough. And for guaranteed access, those filling lines must be located in the U.S. Unfortunately, most are overseas. These obstacles explain why America's Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response and the Strategic National Stockpile, both part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, have teamed up with a U.S. company called Apiject Systems America, FONS.
So, does anybody remember who that is? Who the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response is? Yep, that's individually Robert Kadlec. One person. So let's be really clear that in April, that these vaccines, I mean, basically the one person that we just talked about in regard to Emergent BioSolutions, in regard to the fact that I believe it was called Trobigard, and the product they put out that they knew was not tested, that they said was tested, lied about it, they pushed it out anyway, and the Pentagon gave them contracts multiple times without ever even seeing tests because they weren't there, and it's the same thing they did with the anthrax vaccine that put people's lives at risk, they lost a lawsuit about it, right? It's all these same people. Right, we know that that Robert Kadlec created this position himself, created a situation where he was solely in charge of the Strategic National Stockpile, then apparently gave himself the position. It was not actually what happened, but found himself in the position that he created, that solely has control over this, unique position in regard to their biosecurity manipulative scenario. And of course, in this one situation, they're talking about Robert Cadillac. They didn't even have to say that. They could just put Robert's face right there because he is the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response. So this is the person that's working acutely. Remember, this is back in April.
...in the U.S., fortunately, sees. These obstacles explain why America's Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response...
Robert Cadillac.
...and the Strategic National Stockpile...
...that he controls.
...both part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services... have teamed up with a U.S. company called Apiject Systems America to help package hundreds of millions of doses of vaccines and therapeutics fast.
Okay, so what's clear is that this happened in April. So they teamed up with them to make these special syringes back in April. This one individual who is a literal usable suspect from multiple times in the past getting caught doing... fraudulent activity, from selling things that weren't tested, from doing things that he knew were unsafe anyway, doing it at your expense for the benefit of his companies and his team and the government that he works with. And yet here he is in the sole position. Now let's keep going. I'm getting to a main point with the syringe here.
The partnership is called the RAPID Consortium. RAPID will build U.S.-based facilities to make a new kind of plastic prefilled syringe at extraordinary speed. These facilities will make enough prefilled syringes to inject every man, woman, and child in America with just the right dose 30 days after a vaccine becomes available.
Okay, now the argument is that because this was done in April, that we shouldn't have these supply chain problems. So I'm just making this early point in the stage to recognize that when those supply chain problems inevitably come, because they've been priming us to be ready for this long, constant extension of this process for the next 5 years because of whatever excuse we get that just blends into being the next war on terror forever. The point is that they shouldn't be in that position because they told us that they were ahead of it already, that they already have these new syringes. But it gets even more alarming for those that may have not seen this video yet.
Plus, every pre-filled syringe can have an RFID chip attached. This will allow healthcare workers to use their mobile phones to automatically capture where and when every injection takes place.
Now, to be very clear, this is important, it's not inside the syringe. I never claimed that, nor anybody who was honest did, because it's not. It's very clearly on the outside, and they make that very clear. But the point here is that it's the same concept. This is one step closer to the next step is going to be something you wear on your wrist, and the next step will be something you put on your hand, a little, QR code tattoo. Next thing will be something they inject. These are all openly discussed tactics. There are people that have been discussing the injectable nano platforms, discussing the QR tattoos for a very long time now. So people that pretend like that stuff is fake news are either willfully lying to you because they don't want you to know about it, or are too blind and ignorant to see that it's happening right in front of them because they blindly listen to the liars. So either way, it's very, very clear that this is there. Now, the point is that this is the same concept, that this is going to be used to geolocate and tag these kind of concepts with your phone, right? The digital passport scenarios that Bill Gates just again said in an interview, that we're going to need some kind of digital identification in regard to vaccine records. So whether you want to say it like that or call it an immunity passport, that's what they're talking about. Also called a fake news story by those blue checkmark social influencers. But so when they inject you with this vaccine, when they mandate it, like Virginia and most of the states in this country are already saying they're going to do, well, they're going to be able to geolocate that based on your information. The phone that they're already tracking with their contact tracing app and all the different stuff that will be logged in, who took it, where it is, and then probably ping with all the rest of your contact tracing information. So what's the difference? Whether it's in the thing or on the outside, it's the same idea. They are still using RFID chips to track and locate who took it, where it is, and your records. I mean, guys, this is basic stuff. And if you simply do your research on what this is and what he just said there, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Batched. This will allow healthcare workers to use their mobile phones to automatically capture where and when every injection takes place.
Now ask yourself, what good would it do them to geolocate where a vaccine was given without the person who took it? which, by the way, is what some people are pretending here. All they're doing is just, you know, keeping track of the different vaccine amounts. No, they're not. No, they're not. They don't. Why would they need to know that one was used in Poughkeepsie, right? It just makes sense. The point is they need to know because it's you. They're identifying the vaccine use with the individual, right? If all they need to do was keep a tally of how many they had and where they were used, they could do that with a clipboard, right? They don't need this kind of technology, but the lie is to pretend like that's what it's for while what they're doing is tracking the usage and acceptance of the individual. Now, to take that one step further, you can watch this. The point, I wanted you guys to see this part. It's very important to see, who is involved here and as this goes forward. Very relevant. Now, in the similar discussion, something that's very, very alarming, and this is, I would say, a similar discussion because it's in what I would call where this technocratic revolution we're experiencing. This very alarming situation in which you've got very powerful people that are seemingly kind of decoupled from the government themselves, right? They see people that seem to act independently of the White House and the federal government, even though that's the illusion. And it says groundbreaking new material. Weird how this all of a sudden comes up in the middle of this whole situation, right in the middle of the technocratic revolution. Oh, how serendipitous, right? Groundbreaking new material, quote, could allow artificial intelligence to merge with the human brain. Oh, you mean exactly like what they're all driving toward right now? I mean, Elon Musk has been talking about this forever. And he's one of the people that have exponentially increased his wealth in the middle of all of this. I wonder why. But the point is, they've been talking about this machine-brain interface. DARPA's been talking about it. We've had, all of these exact same people involved in all of the same agendas that we've been talking about who suddenly just got a huge benefit. Oh my God, look, we just happened to discover a new material that would be the perfect thing to create what we've been talking about, right? Driven on by COVID-19. How perfect, except you're all in danger and you should all go back in your homes. But this is a boon for the rest of us in our controlled government society. Right? Didn't you notice that the only people that are wildly benefiting from this are the people that are in control of the situation? The governments and the massive companies that are working with those governments and the philanthropists that are funding those governments. And it seems like they're all benefiting and their companies are growing and everything's, new things are being discovered and, new military agendas are being achieved. And meanwhile, we're all being forced into our homes without anything to feed our family. Freedom, except virus, right? It says, scientists have discovered a groundbreaking biosynthetic material. Now this, again, please consider how obviously connected and relevant this is with all the things that Whitney Webb's been writing about. The DARPA agendas, the bio-injectable nano platforms, and the brain-machine interfaces and all this stuff. That's literally what this is talking about. Now you could ask the question about whether or not this was actually new or something they chose to just tell you about right now. But it says a major step towards integrating electronics with the body to create part human, part robotic cyborg beings. Yay, right? Yay, we're all so excited about that. It says, quote, we got the idea for this project because we were trying to interface rigid organic microelectrodes with the brain. It says it wasn't working well, so we thought there must be a better way. So get this. So it wasn't working for them. Sort of how the RNA vaccines weren't working, sort of how the artificial intelligence plans weren't working, how the pre-crime plans weren't working, how all this stuff just wasn't working. And now suddenly COVID-19 and bang, what do you know? Everything seems to work. It all works. We suddenly discover the new thing we need. We suddenly have a perfect use for the IA plan. We suddenly have a use for the BlackRock bailout plan. We suddenly have a use for all the things we've been planning for a very long time. Now, interestingly enough, and I'm not saying I know as a matter of fact that's what this is, but I find it interesting that they just started looking for an organic electronic material like conjuncted polymers that were being used in non-biological devices. And they discovered it in the middle of COVID-19. Or at the very least, they say they did. Now it says versions could theoretically attach peptides, antibodies, and DNA. Increasingly seeming more relevant. It says name your favorite biomolecule and you can in principle make a PEDOT film that has whatever biofunctional group you might be interested in. Well, I can clearly see how certain nefarious characters would be like, ooh, okay, anything that I'm interested in, okay. Now, I also find the name of it I mean, it's just far too close to pedo for me to not... Pedot, or maybe it's another, you know, it's French or something, pedo, I don't know, but it's just weird. Pedots, polymers. But interesting that it can has whatever biofunctional group that you might be interested in. He says the researchers made a polymer with dopamine. Big Pharma standing up and cheering, which plays a role in addictive behaviors. Right, so dopamine, obviously, this is a organic chemical your body produces in certain situations, human contact being one of them, or rather more so about, that's more serotonin, but dopamine being, you get a dopamine hit when you achieve something, you accomplish something, you know, you meet a goal, you know, you feel, you gain something, right? These are things that are positive, like you play in a video game, you win, you get a dopamine hit, right? So if you're creating something simulates or reproduces these organic things, it's alarming stuff we're talking about here. Now, it's hard not to see the connection to the kind of thing we're dealing with today. Now, it says the startup plans to reveal more details about its brain chips later this month, which could one day provide, quote, full bandwidth data streaming to the brain through a USB-C cable. Now, you know what's silly about that? Is that they don't want to connect to your brain with a USB-C cable. The whole point is they want to connect it using wireless technology. That's what they're actually doing. So I find it very weird to have that kind of thing come out with a cable. Like the whole point of this is for it to not be cable. I mean, look, we're cutting the cord in regard to phones and internet, but yet, you know, the idea of this stuff is to be the other direction. Not to say that that's not how it's going to start, but trust me, the point is about creating this kind of thing to be able to trigger this stuff independently. We already talked about the injectable nanoplatforms, the medical pre-crime, which DARPA and them, they're already talking about. That's already work. They're producing these things. They're working on them as we speak. And the idea is that those are things that you can put in your body that will then alert them if they're to something that's outside your body, whether it's your app and your phone or wherever they're located. And it will notify them of what's going on. This is stuff that they're already talking about. So yet, let's pretend like, yeah, it's going to be through a USB cable. Either way, this is the future that they're trying to tell you is coming. That is now being pushed on. Artificial intelligence, all of this stuff is clearly being discussed as the answer to COVID-19. Whether it be through medical pre-crime, whether it be through contact tracing. I mean, right, understand that when this all effectively gets turned on, however you want to phrase that, it's going to be using artificial intelligence. They're going to effectively control this stuff. That they've told us this already. So here we are. This is the new normal. It's always what they've been planning. They're just using the current situation to justify it. And of course, this is 3 months old, but still just as relevant. The consequences of that, they don't care about. Half the world's workers, quote, at immediate risk of losing livelihood due to coronavirus. Who cares? Let's just achieve our goals, right? We murder entire countries to achieve our goals. Let's just, you know, risk the entire global economy collapse. I mean, understand, this is 3 months ago. 3 months ago, they were saying half the world's workers right now at immediate risk of losing their livelihood. And we just kept going despite the numbers going in the other direction. How much clearer does this need to be? And there's only a few ways you can make these kind of things more clear. Or rather, there's only so many things that can make them as clear as foreign policy, which is what we're going to finish with today. Pretty incredible stuff. That, you know, some of the things we've already been seeing, more the extension of the ongoing Israeli attacks on Gaza and Palestine is just sickening to me that, you know, nobody seems to want to talk about other than essentially me and some independent media. I mean, it kind of honestly bothers me that a lot of the independent media that I would expect to aren't. But, you know, I'm going to show a couple that are. But before we even get to that, it's worth noting that ISIS, you know, the defeated ISIS, you know, totally gone, according to Donald Trump, attacked the major gas pipelines in Syria. You know, exactly what the U.S. government's doing. So it's pretty weird that this, you know, 100% defeated ISIS that hates our freedom, you know, that makes us enemy number one, and is suddenly aligning exactly again with U.S. interests in Syria. I don't know, almost like every other time before this. Can you just see finally see what's going on here? Can you just see, people out there who aren't believing this, that what you're staring at is yet another U.S. proxy? This is exactly what they are. Ben Swan has shown has an amazing documentary from years ago that makes this a clear, obvious point. They are funding, they have funded, they've armed, they've protected, they've shuttled them away to different locations. Guys, this has been ad nauseum. We've been discussing this over and over. This has been proven more times than I can count. So here we are again. They're defeated, but here they are doing exactly what we're trying to accomplish in Syria. Doesn't it make sense to consider the fact that if the U.S. government is enemy number one, that they wouldn't take actions that would do exactly what they're trying to accomplish? I don't know, just a thought. But as I said, basically already, how many times must the 100% defeated ISIS, who supposedly hates our freedom, which they say makes us ISIS enemy number one, openly take actions perfectly in line with U.S. government interests? Maybe it's because they're just yet another U.S. government proxy. Maybe. I mean, they've burned their wheat fields. They've occupied their oil fields. They've stolen the oil. They've continued to starve them. They've used blockades. And ISIS comes in and seemingly does everything that they want them to do against Syria. Or maybe it's not, and it's just another U.S. proxy. Bottom line, all of it's an illusion. The U.S. government is illegally occupying Syria, which, by the way, is this next part, which I don't really think is important at all. I think this is actually pretty ridiculous, because the video itself seems to show the opposite of what our media is breathlessly reporting, despite the fact that, first of all, realize that the U.S. government and all the military that they bring with them are illegally in Syria, right? So all the people that want to freak out and outrage about how I'm not disgusted by how our soldiers have, you know, have concussions, according to our lying mainstream media, they're illegally in Syria. The Russians are not. It has nothing to do with where you're from or fighting for your patriotic, you know, whatever. It doesn't have anything to do with that. One group is breaking the law. The other one is invited there by the government. So when you have the situation I'm about to explain, it's a no-brainer. Now, let me put it this way. If Russia had gone out and you know, murdered some U.S. troops, well, I'd have a problem with that, because I don't think that any life should be taken. And I think it's an issue in regard to U.S. personnel who might not necessarily realize they're there for wrong reasons. Right? So, I mean, this goes in any direction you want to talk about it. Russia, U.S., U.S., Russia. People shouldn't be murdered for what's going on here, because the governments are the problem. But what we're talking about here is a really flimsy, and I would argue, inconsequential collision. As you can see, what it shows you is Russian, whatever, MRAPs or whatever you call these vehicles, these armored vehicles. And these are the U.S. guys up, it's up here. Hold on. They start driving up real quick. I'm just not playing the audio. And they encircle the U.S. Basically, the U.S. people turn and run, which they're outnumbered. Right? Makes sense. And they're also not where they're in a location where nobody wants them there. But so the Russian troops and their cars pull up and basically cut them off. And well, here, I'll play this part, because you'll hear quite clearly that there's not some big collision. All you hear is a horn. Right. So supposedly right there, there was a big collision and U.S. troops are injured. That's the claim. I hear a horn honk. I see the U.S. troops seemingly in their completely functioning vehicle drive right around them. Now, that's basically where it ends. I just wanted to play the full video that I can see on here. Now, you know, look, there could be more to this that I'm not seeing, as always, right? I mean, this stuff is coming out. People are talking about it. But the bottom line is, it doesn't, as far as I can tell, there wasn't some massive problem or collision. Even if there was, are you telling me that people got concussions inside of their MRAP protected vehicles because another car hit them? I mean, for crying out loud, we had 100 traumatic brain injuries from Iran attacking with missiles at the U.S. base. No deaths, though. Keep telling us that. No deaths. But yeah, we had 4 concussions. I mean, it's just silly. It really is silly to me. But either way, let's be real about the point. Even if there were, only one group is illegally there. The Russian troops have the authority of the Syrian government to act on their behalf. So as the U.S. government continues to illegally occupy Syria, and as the U.S. government continues to illegally steal, rape, and rob and pillage their country, well, yeah, then I don't see this as being one group doing something illegal. I see this as being provocative. Sure, because we're talking about two, you know, nuclear-charged governments, both of which are erratic and act in, you know, I mean, way more so, I would argue, the U.S. government, but both are capable of acting out in aggression. That's why I see a problem here. But the thing is right now, this is a distractionary thing that's being used to don't look at all the COVID lies. Don't look at all the things we're being called out for, right? Focus on this kind of meaningless, you know, this is like how they report how a jet buzzed by another jet. No, it was so unsafe and no, blah, blah. Who cares, right? This is nonsense, especially when you're in their territory. But nonetheless, it's being used as some way to, you know, you should be outraged. How dare they? Russia, bad guy, right? Let's get all riled up about the same Russian thing all over again, leading right up into 2020. Big surprise. But as they're saying, in the most violent, most violent skirmish in months between the U.S. and Russian forces, a vehicle collision in the eastern part of the war-torn country, which U.S. is illegally occupying, it says left American troops with concussions. 2 U.S. officials said, well, gee, I can't even think of a time when U.S. officials lied to us, so I guess we just have to pretend that's real. It says one official said Russian vehicles sideswiped a light armored U.S. military. Right? It's the same damn thing. It's the same thing. They didn't call that a light armored vehicle, but, you know, it's just funny how they try to frame it in the way they patchwork this together to make a story out of nothing. U.S. military vehicles injuring 4 Americans. How is that even possible? The official said 2 Russian helicopters flew above the Americans and one of the aircraft was within 70 feet of the vehicle. Oh my gosh, what? I can't believe it. Within 70 feet? Right? You're on their occupied territory. Let's be real here. While there have been several other incidents between America, I mean, it's another article went on to say, oh, while the U.S. has 500 troops there to protect Syria with the SDF, right? It's like, good God, as you're literally there illegally, as the U.N. and everybody else is continuing, you're not there. Everything that's happening is completely against the law. I mean, even the ISIS claim, as the only legitimate thing they're still holding on to, you already said they were defeated. They're actually taking actions that agree with your interests right now. And yet we're pretending that you're there to fight them still. That's actually the same thing. This will be in there for you to look at yourself. I mean, if there's more to the story, please chime in. But the point remains that it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. You don't get to illegally invade a country and then call foul when somebody drives their car close to you. Right, it's just stupid. Now, on other foreign policy news, as Gareth Porter perfectly puts, Pompeo will address the Republican convention, guess what, from Jerusalem. Because that's what good, patriotic American politicians do, right? They give their political speeches from a foreign country. He says because he needs Christian Zionists and rapturists to propel his political career beyond this election. And Trump needs the cash from Adelson et al. For his campaign. Yes. Thank you again, Gareth, for having the courage to call this out. And no, this is not an attack against Jewish people. It's an attack against the fraudulent governments of the U.S. and Israel. That's what it's really about. So people that want to make him out to be some kind of anti-Semitic trope, you're either lying or you're too naive to see what this is really about. But think about how crazy this is. Pompeo. How many times have I made this point? He seems to go to Israel and then goes somewhere else, and then goes back to Israel and goes somewhere else, goes back to Israel and then goes back to the United States and goes back to Israel. Now, obviously, I'm being facetious. It's not that much, but it's noticeable. It is noticeable how this person seems to go to Israel more than anywhere else and seems to come back with marching orders. Here he is, literally giving his RNC speech from Israel. I mean, come on, guys. How much do you need to see before you realize that this government has undue influence over our government? apparently more for a lot of people. But as he also points out that he's meeting with the UAE foreign ministers and talking about all the blah, 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 right? Oh, look at all the great things we're doing for peace and stability in the Middle East. And as I said, well, I guess you guys already forgot about Palestine, right? Remember that main point that you said that the UAE said, we care about Palestinians and that's why we're doing this, and then continued to forget about the Palestinians? Yeah, that's what's happening. And I said, or more likely, you never cared about them to begin with, and you used instead their suffering to your benefit. I said, you know, like a good normal democracy should, right, Mike? Right. Exactly the opposite of what's happening, because right now, Gaza is still under attack for 2 weeks straight. As Robert Inlakesh reported yesterday, Israel has again bombarded the Gaza Strip, and still the media is silent. 2 weeks in. Right? Let's see if we can beat the yellow vest, get 54 weeks in there before the media dares to mention the aggressive atrocities taking place. It's horrific what's happening. But, you know, I mean, it's as horrific as any of the other disgusting situations that they're ignoring. The mass starvation of Yemen that they pretend isn't happening, right? The illegal coup in Bolivia that they pretended was democracy, right? The repeated attempts to overthrow Venezuela that they pretend was not them, or, you know, on and on and on. These horrific, disgusting violations of everything they pretend they're fighting for. Here is the only democracy in the Middle East, we're told, who is, you know, in a peace deal with the Palestinians, who is attacking them for 14 days straight. Yeah, that sounds like peace to me. Well, here the UAE come in, we're going to make a deal with them because Palestine, we care about, and then they don't do anything about it and pretend like it's all good. Pompeo is literally in Israel while this is happening, and no one seems to care. Not even Pompeo. Big surprise. He says, east of Khan Yunis hit, power out, humanitarian aid crossing closed, COVID lockdown, and overburdened hospitals. End the silence. Please. Right? They're attacking places that are hurting the individual civilians. But let's pretend like it's all about Hamas and their balloons. As Times of Gaza pointed out, for 14 days, 14 consecutive days, the Israeli occupation continues to prevent the entry of fuel for Gaza's sole power plant. So far, no fuel has been received for the station. Their sole power plant. 14 days with only 3 to 4 hours of power a day. Right. Let's pretend like it's their choice, right? Their choice to do these things in a place where they can't leave from. It's their choice that Israel closes down these crossings that they can't reopen themselves. It's their fault that Israel shuts down the fishing that they can't then feed their families. Why? Because they say Hamas launched balloons and rockets. So even if they actually did, is it the fault of the civilians? No, that's called collective punishment, which no one anywhere who's honest can argue is not collective punishment. It's collective punishment. They are attacking individual civilians to punish collectively the entire Gaza location because they say Hamas did these things that no one's ever cared to prove. And again, even if they did do them, the UN has never faltered on the fact that they are an occupied territory, meaning that they have the legal right to armed rebellion. None of that seems to matter to our altruistic, freedom-fighting government and people like this mouth-agaped man. Very intelligent. But, of course, as we're staring at this happening, right, 14 days straight, the BBC, of course, chimes in and says, look at how horrible it is. Israel's attacking Gaza. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I misread the title. No, they ignored that entirely and said, look, 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 a rabbi was just stabbed by a Palestinian man. That's the big news. Now, yes, that's sad and should be discussed because somebody died. And if this man just murdered somebody with no cause, then it doesn't matter whether they're Palestinian or Israeli. I'm not going to say that's okay because the Palestinians are suffering. It's never okay. Death is bad. Criminals should be locked up. But the point is that the BBC is complicit with the murder of an entire nation of people. They are complicit with allowing Gaza and Palestine to be mercilessly attacked 14 days straight. And all they can do is report on how one person stabbed by a Palestinian. Again, as I seem to say all the time, if you can't see how obvious this is, you're just not paying attention. How is it that they can pretend the rest of it's not happening and the moment, and I mean the moment, as in today, that this happens, they fall all over themselves to write an article and push it out? I just don't know how that can be any more clear. Oh, and then also, Netanyahu vows to raise the house of the person who is supposedly responsible. Right? So he is willing to bulldoze the house of a family of somebody who committed a crime. Sort of how Trump said he was going to attack the families of whoever, you know, whatever, same thing, right? He's literally saying this guy who committed the crime without it. By the way, we haven't even verified all this stuff and how it happened and what went down as usual, since they lie about stuff all the damn time and get caught for it. But even if he did do it, the point is, how are you going to pretend that you can destroy the family's home without any due process, without any democracy? Why? Because they don't live in a democracy. Because they live in a fake democracy, just like we do, where they have authoritarian power structures and individuals who speak about democracy and do everything to the opposite. If you're going to destroy the home of this family because this person committed a crime, well, by logic, then they should be able to destroy your entire country because you have continued to occupy all of them. None of these things should happen. The bottom line is only one side is actively committing the crime. Very, very clear. Now, of course, they'll cry foul and say, see, but what about the rockets and the balloons? Did you miss my point? The UN has never faltered. And by the way, you can't say that doesn't mean anything when you then alternatively use the UN to say things about Syria and about Lebanon and about everywhere else. That's called being a hypocrite. The UN has never faltered on the fact that this is an occupied territory, meaning they have the right to armed rebellion, meaning that the rockets and balloons, if real, are actually legal. But you don't want to hear that, right? Because it's not about truth. It's about fighting for a political side. So as Netanyahu destroys another family's home based on possibly lies, and even if not, based on an unjust act to destroy their home because of somebody else's crime, well, you need to see what that means, that they're acting with impunity, that they do whatever they want, and that it's absolutely based on racism. That one group of people is better than another, and they will openly say that. But then I'm racist for saying that they say that. Does that make sense? And of course, to finish off the discussion here, Trump and the Democrats both... Isn't it funny how they write this too? You know, Trump and the Democrats as opposed to Republicans. It's just funny how we've become, has it even framed. I love anti-war. They do a fantastic job. But it's just funny how we even almost unconsciously frame these things. But Trump and the Democrats both promise to end forever wars. Right. Okay. So Trump gets elected on the claim to end the wars and then doesn't do that, but then gets elected again for doing the same. I mean, it's just so dumb. All of his supporters are saying the same thing. Oh, well, guess what? If he gets elected again, that's when all the change is going to happen. It's like, how do you even logically wrap your mind around that? Right? So 4 years in and we're nothing. I mean, it's so disjointed from the reality. The wars are continuing. Everything is worse. You can make it COVID-19 or not. To pretend that now they're going to do it next when they didn't do it before. You could say, well, it's because the Democrats won't let him or so on. Okay, well, then why won't that just happen again? It really just doesn't make sense. But the point to end with is that they're saying they're going to end the forever wars. And that's just going to be a political talking point, just like it always has been, just like all the other things they continue to say and say and say, and then do whatever they want when they get elected. But this is the most important one of all time. And they just go back to the same old thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And here we are doing it again and again and again. Oh, but this one's different, but this one's different, but this one's more important, but this is the most important. Oh, we're going to end all the wars again and again and again and again and again. But we just continue to let it happen. Why? Because we choose to believe in one or the other, because we only got two sides, right? Don't forget that 44% of this country recognizes as independent. Yet they still only give you two choices. They don't even care that we show them that we don't believe in their system, and they still put it on you. And as long as a small percentage of people scream about how it's the most democratic thing in the world, it keeps happening. It's a choice that we all must make. We almost realize that, right, that, you know, they're going to end all the wars. We promise we're going to end all of them. But we're going to make 900,000-pound all-terrain exobionic medic suits for freedom, right? We're going to make all these things for rescuing people, right? Not for war, though. Don't worry. We're not going to find this new Pacific Rim-style war of, you know, AI and mech suits and biomechanics. Like, they are literally, they can't speed fast enough in the direction of more technocratic war. To make bio suits and AI robots and all that. But while telling you, but don't worry, we're going to end all those things as soon as we get there. We promise. Your future is clear, and they are not hiding it from you. This is one of a thousand other things that they are, but this is here already, okay? This is not something that they've been working on building massive things that we have no idea about. Internet of Things, interconnectivity, probably being built for that direction. So once they flip the switch, well, suddenly they're already ready. The sad joke is that there's not going to be any ending of the wars. That is how, I mean, the COVID-19 is their new war. This is the new escalation, the new evolution of the same old tired thing. It's just time for us to see it. Hopefully, with the aid of work of other independent media and myself, that we can wake more people up. And every single show, we're doing just that. Now, as we get further into this ridiculous clown shoe illusion that is the 2020 selection, I will talk more about it. I see it to be as meaningless as just about anything else I could point to, but I will talk about it because it's relevant to discussions, but not right now, because I could care less about the nonsense they're spouting in those. I mean, what's funny is you get, you know, I got people in my life that are, you know, Trump supporters that are like, oh my God, did you see the RNC? It was so good. And you look at it and you're just going like, what? Like, how, this is the most, this is embarrassing. They just said everything they said before. Like, it's not even new. They're stealing speeches, and it's all the same BS. And the same thing on the other side. DNC, oh, it's so powerful. Oh, but Biden just stole that speech. And I was like, it's like all the same stuff. It's all the same stuff. It's all ridiculous. And all of them are the same lies and the same evolution, same ignoring all of the real important things. The reality is, guys, that this is a distraction. And my point was, I'm going to get into it a little more as it goes forward. But it's going to be more in regard to how they're abusing the situation, manipulating 2020, how they're going to create a scenario where we're going to see either a postponement of the election, or some kind of, or the accusations of fraud and election hacking and oh, blah, blah, it's going to get ridiculous. Deep fakes, and it's all coming out. And this, we're going to see this. I mean, right now we're already seeing the riots and all the chaos, and they already predicted this. They already predicted that COVID-19 would cause it. They already predicted that the election, Israel predicted that for us, remember? They said, oh, we did the predictions and it's going to be chaos and we're going to have martial law and we're going to shut down the election and we're going to postpone it. There'll be riots and they're already doing it. They said that because that's what they were going to create. That's how I see it, and that's what's going to happen. It is going to create a situation where they drive us into what they're already creating with COVID-19. So again, I'll touch on it. But I'm hoping that people can see past what a what an obvious illusion this is, what an obvious control mechanism the entire 2020 selection is. Hashtag vote nobody. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
For the last few years, I've had this sense that everything I learned as a kid about how America's government works is completely wrong. But I had no idea how bad things actually were until I saw this one graph. Researchers at Princeton University looked at more than 20 years worth of data to answer a pretty simple question. Does the government represent the people? Now, this is what they found. This axis here represents public support for any given idea. On the left, at 0%, are ideas that not a single American wants. On the right, at 100%, are ideas that everyone supports. This axis represents the likelihood of Congress passing a law that reflects any of these ideas, from a 0 to a 100% chance. On this graph, an ideal republic would look like this. If 50% of the public supports an idea, there's a 50% chance of it becoming law. If 80% of us support something, there's an 80% chance. You get the idea. Now, most Americans would probably agree that, with a few exceptions, we should be as close to this ideal as possible. Unfortunately, the way America actually works doesn't even come close. Take an idea that nobody supports, literally nobody, and it has about a 30% chance of becoming federal law. Now, take an incredibly popular idea, the most popular idea this country has ever seen, and there's also about a 30% chance of it becoming law. This means that the number of American voters for or against any idea has no impact on the likelihood that Congress will make it law. Put another way, and I'm just going to quote the Princeton study directly here, the preferences of the average American appear to have only a minuscule, near zero, statistically non-significant impact upon public policy. So if you've ever felt like your opinion doesn't matter and that the government doesn't really care what you think, well, you're right. But there's a catch. This flat line only accounts for the bottom 90% of income earners in America. Economic elites, business interests, people who can afford lobbyists, they get their own line. Look at how much closer their line is to the ideal. When they want something, the government is much more likely to do it. And when they don't, they have the power to completely block it from happening, no matter how much the rest of the country supports it. They get what they want, and guess who ends up paying for it? We pay for it with the most expensive healthcare in the world. We pay for it with a tax code that's a complete mess. We pay for it with internet that's slower and more expensive, with wasteful spending, a floundering education system, a catastrophic drug war, and 1 in 5 American children born into poverty. Almost every major issue we face as a nation can be traced back to this graph.